Hello and welcome to the 10HP Podcast, the show where each month we nominate a game for our game club, play it, and get together and talk about our experiences. This is the show for July 2013. I'm your host, Chris Peters, and with me today are Paul Main.
Hello, what episode number is this?
This is episode 7.
Okay, great.
Yeah, so you want to start doing that, and then we can be just like Rebel FM, and I can never get the number right?
Yep.
Gloria Tran.
Hi.
Hi. Anthony Nguyen.
Was this season 1, episode 7?
Season 1, yes.
Okay, hi.
Year 1. Though we are in month 7, this is slow. And Scott LeMay.
Hey, I'm new.
A newcomer. Welcome, Scott.
Thank you.
Okay, so this month we played Marvel Heroes, which is a free-to-play action RPG set in the Marvel Universe. You play Marvel Heroes.
Yes.
Ching. And Anthony chose this game. Anthony, why'd you choose this game?
Well, I like action RPGs, and I actually played a free beta weekend, and I thought, oh, wow, this is kind of cool. You know, it's an action RPG. I get to play as a Marvel hero. Oh, look, I got a hero drop. We'll talk about that later. And I thought, oh, so this is kind of cool that, you know, I can play different heroes and different abilities. Anyway, so I thought... And then because the game was coming out, I thought, yeah, I want to play when everyone else is playing it that I know.
Be part of the discussion.
Not only that, there's like a great date, right? Like, it was like we needed a game the next month, and this was coming out like right at the start of the month.
Yeah, so. June 4th, June 6th.
Right, so, that's true.
Yeah, it definitely fit within the budget. But no, I had to wait 2 days to play a game between when we finished our last one and when this one started.
That was rough.
Terrible. I was considering dropping money just so I could start my game early.
Actually, I considered that, but I didn't end up going that direction.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad we didn't go that direction.
All right. So,
review of things to come.
Just as a warning for new listeners, this podcast is not concerned with spoilers, so we may spoil the story. Not that there's much to spoil about Marvel Heroes, but...
Nick Fury's evil.
Spoiler.
Spoiler.
Is that really a spoiler?
No,
it's okay. Yeah, it is.
I didn't finish it.
That's an opinion. So, just fair warning. So, let's discuss our Reddit thread. So, we got two responses to our Reddit thread on this topic, and I'm going to read them both. The first one was from Ed208, which is apparently the model before Ed209. As for myself, I'm enjoying it, but not as much as I'd hoped. I've completed the story with one character, but haven't had a strong desire to play through it again with any of the other characters. I think its strongest asset is its connection to and obvious respect for the Marvel Universe. The game is chock full of references to Marvel characters and events, both well-known and obscure. If you're a big fan of Marvel, it's definitely worth at least checking out. So, what do you think? On it true to the Marvel Heroes universe?
No, when you read that, you know, before the show... That I almost felt like I wrote that. I share that sentiment. Almost 99.82%.
Well, I definitely feel like it has so many ancillary characters and just so many characters that it's really drawing on that whole universe. But I'm not a huge Marvel fan. Like I'm not a fan. I just
so never... What are you?
Casual fan.
I'm a casual fan, right?
He knows of the major characters.
I know of the major characters. I for whatever reason, I'm a nerd, but the comic books and cartoons, I just don't have a recollection of all that stuff.
I see. So when you're watching the movies and there's cameos of specific characters, you don't orgasm.
Right.
Okay. Also, exactly. Sometimes I don't even recognize that as a cameo of a specific character.
Well, right.
I'm in the same camp.
Oh, I'm talking about Hollywood movies, you know, when you're watching the movies. And then they make obscure references. Right. You don't like,
no,
it's from that one.
Well, did that take away from the game, though? I mean, that you didn't know these characters? It feel like...
Oh, I absolutely think it did. I think that this is a game made for fans. And if you don't recognize things... I mean, it's not that it doesn't have merits of its own. And we'll talk about that more, I think, later. But if you really like the Marvel Universe, you're going to like this game
more. Right, yeah. Yeah, because they have all those cool characters that you never get to play as a whatever in whatever game. But
like when I was reading the character list and there was Rocket Raccoon, I'm like, that's got to be a joke, right?
I'm terribly
that's
disappointed you don't know of Rocket Raccoon or Squirrel Girl. And what about Ant-Man?
Right? Well, Ant-Man's one of the original Avengers.
Shush. Don't spoil Chris.
All I'm saying is I don't know who any of these characters are. I'm not that big of a fan. And they really surprised me that they were... playable characters. Not that Rocket Raccoon is a playable character.
Yes, he is.
He's an potentially future playable character. No. Rocket Raccoon is there. Squirrel Girl is a potentially.
Come on, Chris. You got to keep up your Marvel characters.
Come on.
But I wanted to play Rocket Raccoon, and he was not one of the starting characters, so I never got to play him.
You should have played him.
I mean,
I think Anthony promised you, like, a guy.
Yeah, he, in fact, I'm pretty certain that he promised all of us
a guy. I didn't realize the price range at the time when I made these, that thing. This is before I saw the prices.
Well, let's talk about the prices a little bit. Like, there were two tiers of prices, right? Well, there was, like, the bottom tier and
before you tiers, hold that actually, thought, yeah. mm-hmm. because the next comment from JRose6717 is going to get into this, and we can talk about it. Okay, so I'll give you my 2 cents for this game. This is his letter. I've enjoyed probably 40 hours of it, but still, no one I know has gotten a character drop. The people who've played 200 hours of it still complain of no hero drops. If you want a hero, you're gonna have to buy him. The prices are what people are in up in arms about. You have to pay a lot for costumes and heroes. Iron Man, Spider-Man, Deadpool are all $20 a pop. The game is still changing as we play. We get a patch of new tweaks. Well, let's just talk about the prices now, because that's what we want to talk about.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And then I'll finish his thing in a second. $20 a pop for a character.
That's expensive. Is it,
no, not for all characters, right?
Only the good ones.
The popular ones.
Like the Iron Man play. Is $20.
Right. And then who else was $20?
Wolverine.
Wolverine was $20.
Deadpool.
So all the ones I never saw on the map.
I see a bunch of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've seen tons of Deadpools. I've seen tons of Iron Mans. I've seen tons.
Well, so to that end, Founders, what did you get if you were an early backer?
Well, there are three tiers. Well, there's two tiers on the Founders. There was, you can spend $60 and choose a pack of, and each pack was like, oh, you get Iron Man, or you get, you know, the three women, or you get some other, or Deadpool, or whatever.
Wait a second.
Plus all the costumes.
So you get Iron Man, and that's it?
Iron Man plus all his costumes.
And for $60. No. And you also get some credits, in-game credits.
Oh, so you can like buy other guys. Yes. Mix and match.
So basically, I watched the little video to explain this. So basically, they said, we're going to give you one of your characters that you really love. That's from the developers. All the costumes for him. And we're going to give you enough credits to buy maybe a buddy or two for, you know, to play alongside or mm-hmm. use alongside him. But for me, that's still just a weird price proposition, because then you're not really free to play as much as, we're giving you an extended demo.
Okay, so I have another question about the heroes and the prices then. And that is, like, do the free heroes feel the same as the heroes that cost money? Like, is there, like, a difference there between, you know...
I wish how much I could comment. I really wanted to play other heroes. But from what I can tell, in PvP, they are doing a lot of crazy things.
Well, yeah. I was one of the suckers who actually bought one of the Founder Packs. And I played the first free one I got was Scarlet Witch, and she's very common and she's very popular, but I fell in just playing Jean Grey, and she's not available as a free person.
Yeah,
she's one of the ones you have to buy, and she became really fun for me because just from the builds I saw online and stuff, and I don't know. I just like playing her. I guess it comes down to preference. I mean,
but it didn't feel any different. Like, it didn't feel like you got like value. So I was just wondering, you know, if they felt different. Like, if I bought Iron Man or if I bought Thor, I was considering buying one of those.
I'll say this: the end game stats for Iron Man are insane compared to the free stats. Like, if you go up later in levels and stuff on the game, like your strength, your fighting ability, your intelligence, all that goes up with your levels. Each one has a maximum potential on that, and Iron Man I think has one of the best as far as reaching all the maximum potential on the stats.
He has the best allocation of raw stats.
Yeah.
Huh.
And those stats, you know, if you saw, they do a lot. Like, each increase will increase like by 5% your health regen, spirit regen, or movement speed, attack damage.
That's funny you say that a lot, because I don't feel that like 5%. Damage is a lot. Like, I felt like every time I got a tier, I'm like, oh, that's nice, I got another tier, but I don't feel like 3% more physical damage or whatever is really a boost.
I didn't matter.
You would feel it in endgame, I think, because if stuff rises with you until you reach the endgame point where stuff doesn't rise with you anymore, and then you just rise. So I think in the endgame, it would only matter.
Yeah, because I noticed a difference when I wasn't pumping my basic attacks, and then I did. It, like, increased, like, by 50%, but I mean, I wasn't increasing over levels. I did it all at once, and guys were dying in one shot instead of two, which is a big deal for me because I'm trying to kill these guys fast.
Yeah. Hmm. So when you mean pumping your basic attacks, you mean like spending points in your basic attacks get the synergies and stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, I never felt like when I put a point into something that it really made a difference.
See, that's what I'm saying. You did it gradually, like at every level, right? Me, yes. I just like saved all my points and I decided to like dump it all at once.
Yeah,
so
but you're not even supposed to play like that. I mean,
you don't know that you're killing
you're going
guys
to get
in
like
one shot.
A giant like increase, right? When you save 20 points and put them in. But my point is like the game. The developer should make you feel like you're getting more powerful throughout the game, and I never felt that. I felt like I was just fighting guys.
Well,
like,
it was
an action game, and my stats didn't even
matter very much. It's like Diablo, right? You get new skills at certain levels.
New skills.
Yeah, that's where you you'll feel. Yeah,
it's true. I did feel it when I got a new skill.
And there's a big difference between 1 point invested in a skill and 20 points invested in a skill.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like that's always a problem with RPG games is that the difficulty scales with you. So, you know, you're maybe power one and the enemies are power one, and when you go to power two, the enemies go to power two, so you still feel like you're power one and they're power one.
Yeah, it's no difference.
And really it's no difference. You know, the true test is to go back to like level one and just crush everything. I totally feel the slow progression there.
I also feel the same way with the items because you know, like I don't feel like there's any differences there except for maybe like you get a couple ranks or you might get a skill like ahead of time. It seems it's kind of like get that.
No, that's one of the biggest flaws. My letdowns is the itemization of the game. For me, the end game was not about items like I would hope. Like it's always about loot, right? Like finding better items or end levels. Here, my goal is just to find a darn hero drop.
Well, to be fair, you never got to the end game.
Oh, no, I got to the end game.
No, did you get to level 60?
No. Oh, no, not level 60, but I got to the end game chapter where all you're doing is I'm grinding bosses every night.
You finished the story, and then it was boring because,
not boring.
Then you slipped into this different gameplay mode.
Yeah.
But you still had a lot of way to go leveling up your skills and
stats. Well, yeah, but it's not about levels and skills at that point. It's about loot. For me, it's always about loot. And the items, the gear I wore, did not matter.
That's something I wanted to.
That was a problem with
comment
that.
About in terms of why I got really bored of this very quickly. You know, primarily two reasons. One is the talent system. You know, where you say like, okay, well, there's always going to be inevitably the comparison to Diablo. So first, the talent system. So if I had to spend points to upgrade my basic attacks in Diablo, you didn't have to do it. You just got better weapons that were leveled. Capped, you know, and then say like you have to be level 10 to use this weapon. So that's how you increase your base damage. So here, of all your characters, you have to invest your talent points that you get to make your character all fun and nice into just increasing your basic attack damage. So I didn't like that part. The other part, which Anthony was starting down, was the gear. You know, I got this new cool new helmet. You know, my character looks exactly the same unless I buy a character. In Diablo, you would start seeing your guy get, you know, this really cool flaming axe or this electricity.
Well, I think the problem with that all I think is there, but it's all microtransactions. Yes. It's all paid for costumes.
Well, there's costumes, but costumes have no effect on anything, right? Well,
oh no, actually, I don't know if you guys ever got to the point where you can actually upgrade your costumes.
No, but
you can socket items into your costume to give them flair,
stats,
and you can add stats to them too.
I know, but I'm saying your outfits or your armor. Like, say, go back to Diablo. You got plate mail. Your character started wearing plate mail.
Yep.
You got some electrified sword.
But you have to realize that's a hero game. Like, exactly. They can't detract from the fans who are there for the heroes.
You want to see your Wolverine look like Wolverine. Yeah, you don't want him to see him in plate mail.
I know, but the thing is then you don't get a sense of progression.
But when there's
you're still doing the same swipe, slash, you know, with
right.
Wolverine.
I feel like we have to have two conversations here. One is the effect of the free-to-play on the reward system of the game, which is what you're talking about, Glarus, and then the part about multiple costumes is more of a discussion of how it feels to be a character in an MMO.
Yeah.
And, you know, you need all these different costumes. You need a Wolverine and plate mail because there can't just be 85 yellow Wolverines with, you know.
But there is. That's like the system that they have. I mean, even from level one, you see like your guy, Daredevil, or, you know, the Thing running around everywhere doing other things that you're not in control of.
Taking from Penny Arcade, right? You are a thing, not the thing.
Okay, so let's finish with this guy's letter. And this game is still changing as we play. We get a patch of new tweaks once a week, but they really do listen to the community. The forums are annoying because all people do is complain. The strongest points I'd have to say is the heroes themselves. They're tons of fun, the favorite being Captain America and Iron Man. Each hero has a great feel to them. The weakest point has to be the pricing and the rate of drops. Most of the big fans of this game don't care because they bought a Founders Pack, which has been a great deal for their money. Overall, I love this game, and it's a fun action RPG. The MMO side is still lacking. No auction house or trading between players yet, but that is coming soon. So,
a lot of topics in there.
There are a lot of things he said in there. So let's get it individually. Let's look at each one. Let's see.
Oh, I don't want to do the round robin summary, or are we skipping?
Yeah, we'll do that after this.
Okay.
But yeah, that's a good thing. Pricing and rate of drops. Did we even talk about
that? Anyone who got a hero drop? Not like
not a reward.
Not the story one.
Not the story one.
We just got the story ones. You the game.
And so how many combined hours do we have? And
No. Okay, let me clarify this. Okay, so partway through, Chris, you might have quit before this, but in a patch they increased the hero drops. And then I learned about this too. Like, not only did they increase the hero drops, they also increased a chance to get a token of a hero you currently play.
Right, so that was a thing that I thought was weird, is that the game has always been you can drop a hero or you can get a token which increases your hero.
Yeah.
And so you want to collect. Though. Oh, they're not the same item?
From the patch, I think that in addition to the hero drop you could get, you could also get, you know, your hero token.
But they could drop at the same time, or?
Supposedly. That's what I got from the hero
notes. It was my impression that if you got a hero drop, that could either be used to add the hero to your account or to upgrade them. And that there was no delineation between the two different types of. Anyway, we don't know. So regardless of that,
Let me clarify. Okay, so in the game, you get 5 starting characters, and then when you pick one of those starting characters, all other 4 are locked out. So you only have 1 character in your pool, which sucks. But once you complete the tutorial, the game will reward you with one of the other starting characters. And when you complete the game will reward you with your 3rd starting character.
Yeah.
Which incidentally is not random, I don't believe. Yeah. I got, Daredevil. We both got Daredevil. We both played the Thing.
But Paul didn't complete the game, so you don't know.
Yeah, so I don't know what the 3rd one is yet to see if it was random or not.
25% chance.
Well, I think they might have done that too because they wanted to balance it out. Like if you're playing like a ranged guy or something, maybe they want.
I don't know.
Well, so what starting character did you play, Glorious?
I played the Scarlet Witch and I got the Thing.
Those are opposites.
Witch.
Whereas I felt Daredevil and the Thing were kind of similar.
Well, one's a tank and one's a melee DPS. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I know that's the theory, right? And that might matter, like, you know, when I finish the game. But you know, when I'm actually playing the game, I felt like, yeah, my guy is a guy that beats people up and has a dash ability.
Right.
Well, see, I don't think you've actually explored all your skills.
I haven't, obviously. Yeah. But I'm just saying, I mean, from the 10 hours that I've played.
Well, why did you choose Daredevil in the first place?
I didn't. I chose the Thing.
Oh, that's right.
But I chose the
Thing. They chose Daredevil for him.
Oh, that's right.
Because I wanted to play the Hulk, but the Hulk wasn't around, so I played the Thing.
Okay, well, so maybe it's not random then.
Another thing I forgot to mention was the skills. I mean, like, I played Scarlet Witch. So her basic ability is she fires a hex bolt, and then there's multiple degrees of different types of hex bolt. Then one of her secondary is some type of fireball orb thing that launches and kind of goes through people and stuns them. And then she has some AoE fire. But other than those 3 skills, everything else is you have to target someone specifically, or you have to do a skill shot, or blanket an area.
Wow, they're skill shots. That's crazy.
They're all skill shots.
Yeah.
I'm a lazy player, so I always look for the passives that, like, this increases your stat by, like, 5 damage.
You do.
I know. And so, because it's like one of them is, like, makes a vulnerability hex. So I can lay an AoE with someone where it makes them vulnerable to more mental damage. So it's nice when you think, like, okay, I can combo this. But it's like, okay, first I got to lay out the template. Guys are still beating up on me this time. Then on top of that, I laid the fire damage, the mental fire damage or whatever that I'm doing, or the fireball orb thing. And so it's like, instead I just AoE fire the whole thing and let them stand in it, take a few whacks at me, and then die.
It sounds like Scarlet Witch, honestly, though, is a support character. It's
she is. She's,
yeah.
She's
a solo character.
Well, Scarlet Witch is the second player, character I have. And I don't know, when I did this, you know, I was getting beat up. I was doing this at range. And a lot of my gameplay style is, you know, run and gun.
Right.
Well, what this says to me, specifically to Glorious, is that Scarlet Witch does not suit your playstyle. Right? And maybe maybe there's a character that you would like more, but you cannot test it because there's no way to get out of this hole without throwing money at a game you already don't like.
Re-registering.
Well, what did you get with the Scarlet Witch? What was your other one?
Thing.
Oh, the Thing. You could have played the Thing.
I guess you could have switched to the Thing. But well, he had to get to that point, though, and get
a
character.
Well, it's pretty soon.
Yes. But I will say this, though. I mean, you guys have played many, many years of games with me. When have I not liked a ranged character?
You always love wizards.
Right, the thing is, the Thing was not a good counter for you. You wanted someone like Hawkeye or someone.
He does have a point, right? Because he's always played mages or support characters. He's always played the type of character that the Scarlet Witch seems to be.
Yeah. Right, but you needed someone there to protect him while he does the
Yes, you needed a
stuff.
Party.
Yeah. To be a support character. But that's another issue, right? Because I remember talking about this with Glorious, and that is that he couldn't beat some of the bosses because he was like a support character and he was playing by himself.
Yeah, because part of her speaking of skills that I rarely have used except for on rare occasions, she has snares and stuns. Great. Does not work on bosses.
No, it works on bosses. Just reduced chance or reduced duration.
Right.
Great.
So effectively
I did find in the game, though, that like you have basically tons of health packs available to you, and you could pretty much beat anybody.
The health packs at the end of the game don't help.
No.
Well, I understand that, but he's talking about a boss that's in the middle of the game, like the end game.
Health packs have a cooldown.
Yep.
No, they do, but I mean, you can just run fight the bosses.
Yeah,
go back and grind some, man. Level up.
No, I don't think that it was even necessary because you could just recognize when the bosses are doing moves and just dodge out of the way.
Yeah, that's what I like about that's one praise I have about this game is that bosses have predictable patterns, and they're at first I thought they were all varied. There's a lot of variety in everything, but later on I realized there's not that much variety. Once my tactic worked on any boss.
Right. It's like you recognize that they're doing their power move, then you move, and then you attack them again after they're done. I mean, that's like...
Yeah, and they have their animations, like their one move where they open up, they have a weak spot because they're busy doing an animation, punching air, and that's when you can attack them. If you're ranged, attack them from range, they're not going to chase you.
And how is that compared to like Diablo or something? Is it the same?
Oh, okay, Diablo 2, I don't feel like there's actually any variety in how boxes attack. I'm always finding myself...
But I mean, can you dodge them? Or is it... I mean, because I never realized you could do that in Diablo 2.
Diablo 2. But Diablo 3, there was a lot more variety. There was a lot more variety.
There's a lot of... The boss fights were all scripted things where you had to learn how to dodge them.
Exactly. Kind of like Marvel Heroes.
Right.
Yeah.
But the thing that I didn't like about Marvel Heroes is that even though they telegraph their attacks, it wasn't easy to control your character. Like, I would do a punch, and then I'd see an attack coming, so I'd do the dodge, but then I'd already been in my punch animation, so it wouldn't click the dodge, and then it wouldn't pick up the dodge after it was done with the animation. It would just say, oh, you didn't press anything because I was busy. So I got to click it again if I'm thinking about it, or I'd take the hit.
I had that same problem with the Thing. Like, I always wanted to activate, like, my barrier ability or whatever the thing is that gives that, like, halves your damage. I don't know if you had that one as well.
Yeah, but, I never used
that. Okay, well, anyway, I used that. And I'd always be, like, stun locked. Well, except it's, like, a self-stun lock because you're, like, attacking and doing other things. And you had to sit there and be like, okay, I'm just going to press A now, in order to get the stupid ability off and then go back to attacking. You can't combo anything. It didn't feel – like, I play League of Legends a lot, right? And I feel like I can combo my abilities and the animations don't lock me into anything when I'm doing it.
Because they finish your move and then they activate the thing that was next, right? Yeah. Or
they even do it at the same time or do something weird like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or because League of Legends actually allow you to cancel your moves.
That's true, too.
Yeah. That's true.
There's one thing that I don't think we mentioned and it just came to mind as we start talking about other games. It's just the fact that it's kind of a shared open world. That's also the other thing. Like, when we play Diablo, I just like doing my own thing and playing my own thing and working.
I like that, too.
Single player.
Yeah. So you played a support character, and I was going to mention this. You could get into a public group, but how did you find the pubs? How did you find grouping everybody?
Barely anyone recognized that we were in a group, because I went through the first 2-3 days with folks where it's like, what is it? Why am I in this group? You know, all of a sudden.
Cause what, they were chatting or it was no, just you being
groups,
confused?
Auto group.
It auto groups.
In instances.
By default.
Right. No, I understand the mechanic.
Yeah.
just to be clear, for people who might not know, the mechanic is when you enter an instance, what, normally there's like the overworld of the map and you're going around
that's
killing monsters.
MMO.
But yeah, that's the MMO part. But when you go into a room, a mini dungeon, you'll enter an instance of that dungeon and you will be automatically by default grouped with other people of your level who are also doing that thing. So that's
and
the situation.
You will also, like, after you're done with that dungeon, still be in the same freaking group.
Yeah.
Well, right. It's really odd. You know, because, like, everyone's just splits up, and then you just end up having these people in my group that appear to be dead or disconnected, like,
or,
the entire time.
Yeah.
Also, just semantically or whatever, however you would say that, if you go into that, you're in their instance, right?
Yeah.
So if they finish it and you're just gone, then you go in later, it's totally clear.
Yeah, it is.
Right.
And you walk through the whole thing, and you just go pick up the loot and leave.
Right.
And you get, like, credit for everything,
right.
Which is really odd. You know, it's like as soon as you get autoed into a group, you should just take off and go do your own thing, you know?
Right. I just want to add to that, like, I feel like, you know, I know some of you share the sentiment that we're just still playing this beta.
Yeah, it does feel like that.
Yes,
definitely.
Still a very unpolished game.
To go back to Glorious's comment though about it being an open world, open to everyone. I'm not sure I'm a really big fan of that.
Yeah,
per se. I like the Diablo model where you just have like 8 people, or I guess in the new one, 4 people that you know, and then you just go around and do the stuff that you want
to
do.
And don't you have the power there to choose whether you want to play it like by yourself or with other people?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
yeah.
I did like the super bosses. You know, like there were people who were really hard to kill, and they scaled up the more people who were fighting them. It did get like a little clusterfuck when, like, there were hundreds of heroes on the board at the same time trying to kill this guy. You can't even tell where he is because you can't tell him from another hero, and there's so many special effects going off. That was bad. But I did enjoy the group things and just jumping this stuff.
I like the open world because actually it did feel like, hey, superheroes are converging with all their different powers to take out all these henchmen.
Like 12 things.
Exactly.
Of your heroes. It doesn't feel like
you know
that.
What? I don't know. That was the first day, but after you get out of the sewers, I felt like you're getting a lot of variety.
But on the flip side,
I agree with Scott.
Okay, let's talk one at a time.
Did anyone do the quest about the insects, the bug hunt?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Did you finish it?
I did.
So the last one of there is like this rare guy that spawns in the world that there's only one of, and he's really hard to find. And then when you find him, people can just walk up and kill him, and will. Because he's like, oh, he's in the lead. I want to kill him, even though they're not on the quest. And so he's always dead, and other people are trying to get him. And they're like, oh, someone just came across and killed him, and it wasn't even on the quest.
That reminds me of just MMORPGs.
Yeah, that sounds like, you know,
it's
learn
like
from WoW 101.
Right.
You know, it's like, this is how you avoid problems in your MMO.
Yeah.
I can't, you know.
No, but that's how rare one was in an instance, though.
But a triple flip on that one. You can also just say, hey, where's this bug? And somebody who's seen him will go, oh, he's over here. So you've got the MMO being a little wiki for you, telling you how to solve quests. So that's nice, too. I don't know. There are good parts and bad parts to having all these people playing with
you. I agree with Scott, though, because it's just...
Yeah, I don't like
it detracts from it. I mean, when I see 14 Scarlet Witches, 20 Wolverines, a few dozen of this and that and the other
thing.
It's
not that bad. Come on.
Oh, I
fill up your screen.
I saw the complete screen where it's just
the
nothing.
Lag. It's crazy. Yeah.
The lag is crazy.
Especially when you get into like Avengers Tower or something.
Yeah.
I don't blame them for having these like multiplayer options like that. I blame them for not giving you the power to make it the way you want. If you want it to be like more single player in your own experience, why they didn't just do that for you?
Right.
But yeah, see, like my fun is completely diminished because, you know, as I'm walking to, like, I'm somewhere in chapter 2 or 3 or something like that, and I'm walking through this guy's hideout or base of operations, and it's like dead bodies, dead bodies, dead bodies, dead bodies, dead bodies. All of a sudden respawn. Everything swarms you.
Oh, yeah, that's a
problem. Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah.
But still, there are times when I've walked all the way to the boss,
or the instance, and there's nothing there.
That's then, because someone in your party has cleared it.
Okay. I know, but I mean, where's the fun in my game? Because it's like, I would.
Well, that's why you have to opt out of the.
You can opt out.
No. He's talking about, you know, walking to the instances in the open world.
Open world.
You know, you see all those dead bodies, or you see people clearing stuff, you know, 5 steps in front of you, and you can't get your own punch in.
You just got to catch up to them. They all have to stop and attack.
They're trash mobs anyway. Yeah. Who cares?
Exactly. That's why.
Like, thank God those people are wiping them out for me. Yeah. I don't want to have to deal with all that shit.
Yeah, because the only problem is you have to walk to your single player game. That's the thing. You just have to walk to your single player game.
I disagree with that statement. Like, I totally am like, oh, I hate trash mobs and instances. You know, I just want to go fight the boss. That's the interesting part of the thing. And the trash mobs just take up my time. But I'll say this. When you get to the end game, all you do is instance runs. And I hated that. I want to go back in the open world and just fight trash mobs.
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you what. Honestly, I don't know when we're going to do the round table, but this is like the only game I literally fell asleep playing. And it was because of all these trash mobs everywhere. I would just be like, okay. I mean, first of all, they present no threat to you. Like, I'm never going to die to a trash mob. Like, I would stand there, and I would, like, move and go do something else. And the trash mob would be beating up on me. And I'd be like, you know, go change, like, B's diaper or whatever. Right. And then come back, and I'm still alive. It doesn't make any difference.
And that actually brings up a point, is that the trash mobs, the open world, only goes with the story. So once you pass, like, level 30, you're never going to fight a level 60 trash mob outside of an instance.
No, that's... okay.
So there's nothing to fight once you reach some level thing, which...
Anyway. I feel like, the open world is just like the town in Diablo. I mean, except there's things for you to kill. You're just going from one point to the other point to your single-player game instance.
The open world is the story.
It is.
The story mode.
Yeah, that's what I like about the open world, too. That's where I feel like heroes. There's these big, you know, you're trying to help the city, like the police fend off the robbers and everything. I like those events. But you have to go find those events in the open world. I believe the core game is the instances. You know, when you're going to these single player, if you make it single player, or, you know, the group that you select, these dungeons to, continue the story. You know, you're seeking out a boss.
Yep.
You know, you deal with those trash mobs, and those trash mobs do hurt.
They do, like the yellow ones, right?
Not the yellow ones. No. The regular trash mobs.
The regular mob in the instances? Okay, you're talking about the end game then.
Not the end game, actually. Okay.
I never had an actual trash mob in an instance.
Well, Dr. Doom, the shield robots, the pounders.
Right. The later mobs actually do
threaten you. Yeah, they like have mentalists who will stun you.
Your situation, Paul, it was just basically other people around.
Okay. You just said a thing that I really want to talk about that I forgot. Oh, my God. Stunning. Stunning is so broken.
Oh.
Like, in Diablo... Now, I hate the WoW model, which has... what's it called when stun reduces... It's not stun reduction, but it's...
Tenacity?
No.
Tenacity exists in Marvel Heroes.
All right, does it?
Yes, and that is how you fix this.
What's it called when it degrades in effectiveness?
Sure, I forgot it was...
Anyway, the concept is that if you stun someone twice in a row, the second stun doesn't have the full duration, and then the third time is less. So you can't... Until it finally doesn't even stun them. That way, you can't stun lock somebody by just chaining stunning.
Mm-hmm.
So... Marvel Heroes doesn't have that. So if you get stunned by an enemy, you know, it's okay if there's just one. But if there's six guys that can stun you, they can stun lock you. And you can't use abilities. You can't do anything. There's not even a skill to, like, clear stuns and escape.
Yeah, some people do.
Some people have that?
Some people have stun reduction.
As a melee guy, it was very irritating that, you know, I couldn't escape from these ranged guys that stunned.
I'd like to say that I think Diablo had that same problem. Diablo 3.
No.
There was stun lock problems with that.
Well, there might be, but I thought all of Blizzard games, you know, since WoW have, I guess it'd only be Diablo, have a stun reduction.
And Diablo, how many guys actually stun? How many enemies actually stun? Not a lot.
But I'm just saying that there was stun locking going on in Diablo. Mm.
But all the time, I was having problems with being stun locked. And the only way to deal with it is to, like, slice off two guys from that group, you know, come back after you died.
If you're the thing, you just jump around a lot with your dash attack and then, like, go.
Do that if you're stunned.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, you have to start this at the beginning.
Right. Before you know it's a problem, you have to have done this.
You have to recognize a threat before.
Yeah.
And I know what guy Chris is talking about, those guys who throw the bolas.
Well, there's lots of different guys that do it, but yes, the guys that throw the bolas, definitely.
When you have more than two of them on the screen, yeah, it could be a problem.
Anyway, so, you know, you can get like five of them, and they're all attacking you, and it just... There's no escape.
Yeah, and they might fix it with a patch. They're patching this every week.
Yeah. That's what he says.
Like League of Legends. I mean, there's hero notes. They are updating every hero every week.
Hmm. Yeah.
I know I've been critical of it, but there's two This is
probably going to go into what you want to say. I want to start with Glorious, and we're going to go around the table really quick to say, did you like this game? I know we've already probably answered that question with a lot of our commentary, but did you like it? Do you want to play it more? Do you not like, you know, real, like, one-line answer, yay or nay?
Nay. I have notes of myself saying, Marvel Heroes sucks. It was just tedious. And like I said, there are things that I wanted to see. I wanted to see better itemization. Like, items for my characters weren't really that meaningful. You know,
that's more than one line.
Sorry. Never mind. Done.
Anthony.
I'm middle, right? But it's more nay. You know, it's not the action RPG I wanted to play. There's a lot of potential, but I'd have to come back to it, you know, in months to see if they fixed it.
Scott.
I'm going to be one of the crazy ones here and say I kind of did enjoy it.
I enjoyed it, no.
No, I mean, I
that's crazy, Scott.
There were a lot of problems and stuff with it, like any new game and stuff, but I really feel that there is a lot of potential there, and that it...
You're a Marvel fanboy.
And I'm a Marvel fanboy. And, you know, I don't know. I think they did well.
So I'm going to say nay. I thought that the game was actually fun until I got to the end game, and it could be fixed. But I'm not a Marvel fan, and there isn't enough draw here for me to keep playing. I don't want to collect more guys. I don't really even care. There are better action RPGs.
I feel like this is a game about theme, and if I was in Scott's position and I loved the Marvel Universe, I'd probably like this too. And that's because you can kind of just it's a game that you want to love, and it, you know, if you're a Marvel fan, you would love it. And I'm not, and so I don't.
Okay.
All right. So, like, qualify. I am a Marvel fan. I am fully aware that who Rocket Raccoon was. I actually did not remember Squirrel Girl because.
Oh, then you're not a Marvel fan. I think that.
Oh
just
my God! Yeah,
she defeated Wolverine, dude.
And Dr. Doom.
Well, anyway, and Dr. Doom.
But going back to the two things I did say, I know I've been critical of, but there's two things that I did like. I did like the dynamic world events. So you know how you had the world bosses? So eventually, every now and then, I would say, like, hey, someone is attacking such and such. Go do this. So it was kind of interesting to have that happen kind of dynamically. And then the second thing was the micro instances. Instead of having, like, fighting like your next supervillain, you guys are walking in the open world map, you can run into these little micro instances of like the secret base, right, or a secret computer room or something like that, and you can do a little fight. And I thought a lot of games could benefit from
that as treasure. Those are treasure rooms.
They really are.
Yeah, but is that good or bad thing?
That's a good thing.
Okay.
I'm seeking loot. And by the way, back to the discussion. After my three starting characters, I've gotten two Hawkeyes, so my ultimate is level rank 3.
Right. I forgot that's how that worked.
Yeah. So wait, I've gotten hero drops. I've gotten extra hero drops, but only Hawkeyes.
Interesting.
I got a costume drop for Thor. I don't have Thor.
Yeah, I have Punisher and Captain America, two costumes.
Okay, so going back to Glorious' thing, I too liked the world events, and I liked it when they're like, this... place is being raided, go protect it. The thing I didn't like is that all the other people there, I'd be like, oh, there's people attacking this base, I don't even know where that is exactly. Okay, I'm gonna go try to find it. Oh, someone finished the objective. Okay, well, I guess that's no longer an event occurring. Mm-hmm. The game would complete its own objectives because someone else is out there completing it.
But I mean, in the sense of that, it's a dynamic event, it's not like it occurs frequently.
Oh, they do.
They do.
And they
the
all
thing
do.
And when you're there, it does feel like, hey, you're actually helping out. Like,
does right? it?
It does.
I felt like I could just stand around. I think the same result would happen.
Well, same result would happen.
But you still get to participate. And, uh-huh. It was fun.
Hey, right. There's some clicking involved.
When
right.
you want to be a superhero and you want to stop those giant dinosaurs attacking the village, it feels great.
This goes back to Glorious and I's discussion. Like, if they made this goes back to Glorious and I's discussion that if they made the game, you know, just 8 people in the game and you could play with your friends, then those events would, I'm sure, would seem a lot better.
Yeah, I think that'd be cool. And then also, there's also one of the things that I kind of think about is I think about the theme of the game. It's like, I don't feel like much of a superhero when it's, you know, it's like, yeah, I can do some special things, but still, a group of eight guys with machine guns can still, or a guy with a baton, or
yeah, that always bothers me. Like when henchmen can really keep you down, and like I don't feel like a superhero.
Charge up, fire an arrow, they all fall down.
Yeah, until you go up to the instances where the guys are higher level than you, and you're like, bash, 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 bash. This henchman is taking a lot of damage. Bash, oh, yeah. Bash.
Or they're one-shotting you.
Right. Okay. Exactly.
There's a shotgun to the face.
To add on to my dislike, you know, people were saying, like, maybe Scarlet Witch wasn't the character for me. But the problem was, is that I was already level 12 or 13. And it's like, to go back, one of the things is the leveling. So
yes. No, I agree.
It's like, I have the thing. It's like, do I start the thing at level 1 and start this whole...
That's what I did.
Treadmill over again?
Yeah, because once you're... I mean, I spent over, you know, 50, 60 hours, and most of it was with Hawkeye. And I feel like, you know, like, I want to continue to build his levels up just to make him stronger ever so slightly, but to improve my chances to, you know, do stronger bosses for higher chances of better hero drops. I don't care about artifacts or those items. And once I do get that new hero... I feel like my goal is accomplished. I could put this game down. I'm not going to play that new hero.
I have a friend who sunk like 50 hours. You have a friend too. And he never got a hero drop. And he was like, I'm just playing this game until I get a hero drop, and then I'm going to quit.
Why?
That's my question. You set that goal. You're like, oh, I want to get some hero drops. And then you never do. And then it never comes. And you never get that reward. And you're like, I want that reward. And you're so dedicated to that. And then you realize that it's consuming you. And you're like, I don't really like playing this game.
And here's the thing. I mean, like, where you and I differ, Paul. Like, you know, action RPG is my genre.
Right.
I can grind and, you know, senselessly grind and hate the game. Or I know I'm like throwing away these hours and whatever when I could be doing something else. But, you know, it's just, you know, what I want to do.
Yeah, but I mean, I understand that. Like, if you play the game and it's fun, then it's fun in its own reward. But you just said that you're going to quit as soon as you get a hero drop, which makes it sound like it's not fun.
Yeah. No, actually, but the thing is, okay, I'm always fighting myself on this topic, too. You know, like, I do enjoy the little drops I get that don't help me towards my goal, but I just see the rare drops that come out every once in a while, then I go sell it, but...
I'm going to have to channel a little bit.
Little tiny endorphin.
I'm going to have to channel a little bit of Paul here and say that when I look at... And it may be the fact of having kids, but my time is valued much, much differently right now. There has to be a reasonably high bar for fun to time ratio in order for me to continue playing a game. And Anthony, you may have had like 40, 50 hours. I struggle to make it to 10 because I was just like, when I actually have time to play games, I kept on thinking, like, is there something else I'd rather be playing than this? And 9 times out of 10, it was yes.
Well, I feel like...
the month, this is the 10 HP.
No, I know. We did it. I did it. I felt the exact same way Glorious did, at least for the last 2 hours, I'd say. Yeah.
I feel like there's a time and a place for this game, or for all action RPGs, really, because they're very grindy.
Yeah.
You know, when I'm tired and I don't want to be playing too involved the game, an action RPG is good. You just sit down, you click a bunch of times, and you go, and you grind, and you spend your time. But you're still playing a game, you're still getting a little bit of a reward for it. But even though it's not the best game in the world, it fills that space better than a game that would, you know, maybe this game has more engaging story, but I'm too tired to play it, you know? I'm too tired to enjoy it. That happens to me a lot. Especially having a crazy child who runs around and yells all the time.
Yeah, but you see, in my case, when you say, like, I need something mindless or doesn't take a lot of attention, that's what I call sleep. I go to sleep at that time.
No, I mean, there's a lot of times where you want to be doing something that, you know, is fun. League of Legends is that game for me, but I feel like playing against human opponents that are less predictable is just more fun for me.
Yeah. Look here. Time is valuable. That's why I had to cut out, you know, Japanese RPGs in addition to action RPGs.
You can only have so many grinding things in your life.
And this game did push me to a point like, no, this game's not doing it for me. And then I actually switched to Path of Exile and got 30 levels in Path of Exile.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, that's great. I'm glad you're having fun.
Yeah, and then that's an action RPG that I'd rather be playing.
Right, and it has like the payoff that you want. I'm sure it does.
I don't have a goal. See, I don't have a goal in Path of Exile except to gain levels. There's like a finite goal because there's this hero drop that I want to get because this game told me I can play as other heroes.
Yeah.
Right. And I want to play as, you know, Deadpool. I don't want to pay $50 for him, but I want to play as Deadpool. Or luck. At this point, you know, or Punisher. You know, I want
just
to play
anybody,
Punisher.
Right?
At this point, it's anybody. And then when I do get it, I'll probably actually put in 10 levels or something.
You're going to get another Hawkeye drop.
So I have a question. Were the Hawkeye drops tradable?
No. I don't think any hero drops are tradable.
Oh,
or
my
costume
God.
Drops are tradable.
That's another flaw of the game. They should have made the costumes tradable. So at least if you had like... They should have made them tradable. So if at least you had like a friend or something there, then... You know, you could just trade with your friend.
Yeah. No, this is why I think they should have done.
The likelihood of you getting the one character you want, if that's the case you're in, you know, you'll only be happy with one thing, is extremely small.
Yeah, now, especially since you can't trade him.
Right.
Yeah. I think they should let you play all the characters up to, like, level 6 or 10.
Well, they should just make them unlockable with in-game currency.
Here's something that we haven't discussed.
No, that's not sustainable, though.
No, it's sustainable. I mean, League of Legends has that model. No,
but League of Legends is good.
Here's something we haven't discussed, but that just came to mind as I was kind of thinking about it. What about the social aspects of the game? Did any of you guys actually interact? I know some of you guys grouped up with each other, but did you guys actually form any relationships or know anybody else or maintain contact?
So let me tell you the anecdote of my social... You know, I've already told this story to everybody, but I want to tell it on the podcast. The first time I was in a group, I was automatically added to the group, and I was going through the instance, didn't even realize I was in a group yet, right? Because I didn't know about this auto-add system, and it said, you've been kicked from the group. So I'm like, I got kicked back to the Avengers Tower. Like, what just happened? So I went back into the same instance and got auto-grouped again. You've been kicked from the group. Twice, I guess I got auto-grouped with the same people, and they didn't want people in their group, and they just kicked me out. And, like, that's a terrible experience to be forced into. You know, there's...
Yeah.
They just got a terrible setup for...
Yeah. By default, well, to auto-group...
I
think they should. I think it's just notify you better.
Yes.
Because if you don't set it as default, then like nobody's going to do it and the system just won't work at all. But I think the problem here is that we're like a bad sample for like social interaction because we're not seeking social interaction through this game.
That's true. I consider myself slightly more social than some folks, but I just didn't feel like chatting, because every time it was, you know, like even when I was grouped, it was like people were like, come here, do this, shoot that, hang out here, it was just like, it wasn't anything.
People actually said that?
Yeah.
Wow.
People in my group actually said, where are you? Hurry up.
Yeah.
It's like that.
Internet. What do you expect?
Exactly. And I didn't feel like there was enough strategy where you needed to strategize.
Right.
There wasn't enough.
I felt like everybody just like went ahead and fought. And there was always like some guy 4 levels above me.
Yeah.
And he just cleared the path and everyone followed along.
Yeah. So that's what I said. It wasn't a fun experience. And then the other part was just the world chat. I was just like, you know, one of the first things I do in WoW is I turn off the world chat or realm chat because it's annoying. And then just hearing people say, you suck. No, you suck more. Or, you know, all this stuff.
Honestly, I don't even notice it's there at this point.
Yeah, I know.
I found that the systems for social interaction were bad. You know, you get into a group, and so say you go into an instance, the daily instances at the end. And there are, the way daily instances work, for those who don't know, is you can go through and complete bosses that you've completed in the past. Like when you went through the instances of clear bosses, now there's just a list and you select the one you want to fight and you go fight it. And each one gets progressively harder. So maybe you need to be like level 20 to start the first one, but then 24 for the next, and then 28 for the next, and then 32. And then at some point you can't do it alone anymore. And at some point it gets so hard that you need like, you know, 6 guys that are level 60 or whatever, 5 guys that are level 60. Anyway. So I went through with a guy who started at the top and went through all of them. But he goes into the instance, and then I have to wait till he shows up and I can click to join him, and then I jump into the instance. But I have no idea when he's going to start, what, you know, how, like, there's no way for us to coordinate going into the instance at the same time. I just have to, like, wait for him to start it. And I waited for him because he may be shopping. I don't know. We're not talking. We're just in the same group. I joined him for the first one, and then I just followed him through the rest, and he didn't care. We didn't talk. We didn't interact. We just did that thing. But
so you're a tag along.
So that's success then.
Well, it was a successful thing, but it was, you know, the mechanisms were, I guess, were allowing us to do it, but they weren't helping us do it. You know, they weren't, They weren't telling, hey, this guy just jumped into this instance. Do you want to join him? Or, you know, he's going in right now. Click here to join. There are none of those things that you expect from, like, wow, like, this event is starting.
But the instances was pretty good, too. You just, like, it was like an instant teleport, too, that you just teleport directly to him.
Kind of. Not really. Diablo, like, you don't know if they've set that portal up amidst a monster, so you jump into the portal and you get killed.
Well, Diablo 3, I mean.
Oh, Diablo 3?
Not Diablo 2.
But you still have to talk to communicate with your people to know where they're at or where they are.
You just jump to them,
though. Well, you could jump to them in Marvel Heroes.
Yeah, but it takes a while to load. That loading screen is
Or if you're already preloaded, then it should be quick and instantaneous. You know, like what? No, Scott and I communicated. I had to make sure, like, don't teleport to me yet, right? I'm surrounded by a bunch of guys here, and you're gonna get killed.
Right. Well,
and like in Chris's situation, right? Like, you don't know. You just have to see when his under his name says he's in the instance. And you could teleport to him.
Right. It is nice that you can actually teleport straight to people.
It
you don't
is
have
nice.
To like have like a summoning stone or, you know, do all this other crap.
But what's bad is you don't, there's nothing about, there's no like balancing, there's no scaling of levels or anything.
Yeah.
It's just the highest guy crushes everything and the lowest guy does nothing.
Yeah, well, I thought they needed some system where you could just play with your friends.
Right.
I mean, like, all these games need that. Like, if you want a game that will keep drawing people to it, like, over time.
Company Heroes.
Right.
Not Company Heroes. City Heroes.
City of Heroes.
Right, right. And where you can be like, hey, you know, friend, I would like you to come play this game with me. Like, if you play WoW or this game or whatnot, then you have to, like, wait forever. And you have to keep convincing them to keep on playing and go through the grind so that they can eventually get to your level and you can actually play together. Whereas, you know, like City of Heroes or whatever, you could just instantly play together.
Yes. Sidekick system.
Yes.
Your level was raised to match the level of the guy you were the sidekick of.
Right.
Yeah. Huh? You would sidekick him.
You didn't have all the special abilities, but you had
the cool hit points equivalent.
But yeah, equivalent hit points. Your ratio of damage, like, you know, was on par with his level. Mm-hmm. So if you were fighting that level monsters, you'd do even damage.
That sounds better than downgrading the higher level guy, because right? the later lower level can feel super powerful and continue to play.
Later on in Save Heroes, they got rid of sidekicks and just auto upgrade you to whoever started the instance.
Right. I mean, that's kind of the system that these games mm-hmm. need. I don't understand what they have against, like, keeping people from playing with their friends all the time or people joining, you know, the game.
Well,
you know, two years after it launches.
It's not against. It's that they're lazy. They don't think of these things. And you wonder why they don't think of it, right? It should be the most obvious thing. They need people playing, and people like to play with other people. They're just the obvious connection.
Hey, this game is free to play. They're banking on the whales.
But then I think what they're banking on is the fact that, you know, people want to get better or something like that. So if you look at, you know, this guy who's 10 levels above me, and he's just crushing guys, and he has all this great equipment. You're like, oh, I want to get my guy there. I mean, I don't know.
You're not playing.
I know. I'm not playing. I mean, I'm turned off by the game, but it's for other factors other than that.
Oh, I'm talking about you're like, by watching someone be powerful, you're not playing. You're watching them crush stuff. You're not yourself not being a superhero and feeling like,
yeah,
sure, you have a goal, like, I want to be like this guy, but you're actually just tagging along.
No, I mean, I like the sidekick system. I like boosting people up. But
the thing is, with City of Heroes also, they became free-to-play also. I don't know if people will argue that might have ultimately led to their downfall. I would disagree that was because of some secret corporate thing. But anyway, that's not here or there. The thing is, I think you can have both. I think you can have the system that just auto upgrades someone and still be free to play and still suck the people in for the stuff to buy for your guy. I mean, obviously what they're selling is the flair for the guy and not just the items.
Right. And I think to go back to what someone said about, hey, you can't sustain yourself on selling the flair. Like you can't use in-game credit to buy heroes. You can do that and you sell the costumes and stuff. I mean, if someone was really invested in Wolverine, they would buy a costume. But if they don't even have Wolverine, I think it's less likely that they'll buy Wolverine to get him than it would, mm-hmm. like, if he was invested and he'd buy a costume. I think that there's more to buying items and stuff to modify your game if you really like the game than there is trying to get people into a game that they aren't invested in already.
You're right, because that's why I think the game really needs is to let you play these other heroes so you know how they how they play, and so you can get a feel for them. And instead of, you know, giving them for free and letting them play up to like level 6 or 10, you know, you're right. In-game currency, so that, you know, you work towards a certain goal and buy them. And if you want to, and fortunately, since costumes actually do more than just change your look, if you want to spend some money, there's no in-game costume drops. You can make them purchase only. That's one way.
But I think Scott's right. I think that you can still have a game giving these people away, and there still be stuff interesting to do.
Right. That's still sustainable.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I mean, League of Legends is a great example. You can use in-game currency to buy champions. And, I mean, the nice thing about League of Legends, too, is that you don't have this level disparity. I mean, there is levels in the game, but, like, when you actually play the game, the level differences are pretty minuscule. And the real level difference is, the game knowledge that you've accumulated over time, and that really sets people apart.
Well, I think that goes... sorry, what Scott was saying was that the level differences, that won't affect purchases.
Yeah.
You know, if you boosted somebody up to level 30 to fight with you in League of Legends, then I think that would add to their interest in the game and to tie them in, and then they would want to spend money.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, even without having the differences there, you know, the differences are huge in Marvel Heroes. They're not so huge in League of Legends.
Mm-hmm.
But if they weren't there, I still think that having a friend come in and just boosting him up and you know, letting him play with the max character would make him interested in the game.
Yeah. What they're selling in the store for Marvel Heroes, honestly, is all flair. They're selling costumes, they're selling heroes, and they're selling, you know, auras or whatever, you know. They're not really selling ability boosts or anything for that in the store.
So. Yeah, so why make people grind? Exactly. Why, like, they're...
Well, actually, that's also an interesting thing. Everyone always talks about, like, Diablo. So I don't remember playing a ton of Diablo, but I remember there were these really cool, unique, like, one-of-a-kind or really super rare items. And then they had this, like, unique styling or theme or image or objects for them. And so in Marvel Heroes, if you get this really rare, epic purple loot, golden loot item that does a bunch of things... Your character looks exactly the same, and that's still just disappointing because it's just like, I've played 300 hours, I got this really epic drop, and I look exactly the same.
Yeah, that could be...
Yeah, I don't know how costume modification works. Like I was saying, you know, you can get items that sync that hook into costumes
that give you special abilities, but do they really change?
I think they change appearance. There's some of the crafting recipes I was getting later on were like, put in an item that'll change the appearance.
Those are for auras, honestly. Mm-hmm. You get, like, extra auras and, like, glow effects and stuff.
Right, well, that's an appearance thing.
Right.
But okay, so it's just a glow. It's not a full-on costume change.
Yeah, so, like I said...
But still, that stuff didn't come into play at level 32. I don't know when you finally get the ability to change your appearance.
But to do what Glorious asks for a free-to-play game seems really kind of...
Well, I mean, there's many Diablo clones that try to do the same thing. But I think in this case, I'm just thinking in terms of, like, what would keep me going on? I mean, if I were actually interested in this game, what would keep me going on? I mean, I don't want to look at the same Scarlet Witch. Okay, so if I'm playing Scarlet Witch all the way to level 60, you know, what's in it for me? I get a slightly better skill. I look exactly the same.
Well, the costume, but that's it.
You know, it's...
Well, I think that this is...
How do I differentiate myself from other Scarlet Witches?
This is like an awesome inherent badass to the problems of free-to-play games, right? They have no reward system. The reward system that is typical to games is removed and turned into money. So you really should just play the game to get kind of the normal experience of playing a game. If you want it to be like a normal game, you just pay money. And that's, you know, so it's not really free-to-play. If the free-to-play is like this subpar game that... It isn't as much fun as it would be if you had throughout some money.
You know, there's something that I'd like to bring up, though. I know other games have kind of brought up this song. Because we talk about the free-to-play model. The new Tribes brought this new model where it's like you can either try to earn your credits in-game, you know, play matches and stuff, or you just buy the game, which is what I'm saying. You get every single item, every single class unlocked. You know,
right, which doesn't make sense. I mean, that we're now talking about Tribes, but you know, you can't have a game that's free for 80% of the people and then like 20% of the people can buy it for $30, because, you know, like if you expected 100% of people to buy it for $30 and now you're only getting 20% and the other 80 are buying for nothing, you know, you're not getting enough money out of that. All right, also, I wouldn't expect you were anyway. Obviously,
somehow
I'm
trying to make it work. I don't know.
Or is it?
There's incentives not to continue like making the game better if you have a model where you can just buy the whole game.
You're buying everything for that basically season. So everything we produced up to this point. $30.
Okay, so yeah, I mean,
so
that's
then
different.
It's the subscription model.
Yeah,
it's not a subscription. I guess it's just you pay it once and you can keep all those items. It's not, if you don't pay it again,
right?
You still have those items.
Or okay, so it's an expansion pack.
Yes. It's like an expansion model.
But still, I can't. I don't know. Is Tribe succeeding? I can't really say.
They put on more servers.
I have a question on League of Legends. Don't play that so much, but when you buy new items and stuff in League of Legends during the game, does it show an appearance change with the item?
So the answer is no, but I mean the items are really like they're part of the core game, like the actual like going around the map. There's no items that are outside of like that are identified with your character or anything because
these are
characters.
Standalone matches.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a match system, so
I
the
guess
answer is
no. Resistance there,
but I mean,
but it's not about your character. It's about teamwork and
It's really a different game.
Yeah,
it's like I mean, and the items, it's so ridiculous. Like you could buy like 5 different armors, and it wouldn't and they all give you benefits, but it doesn't make any difference to your character. It's just not about the items in that way. It's not about customization. They have skins, and you buy the skins in order to make your guy look cool and unique, but it's not
like costumes.
Yes, like costumes. I agree. I don't think the costumes are a big down, like a reason to not play the game or to not keep you going.
I can totally see Glorious's point, though. I mean, you want to see a progression. You want
If you have persistence, you want to see progression.
Well, I agree with that.
In this game, you've got a character that's progressing over time.
Yeah.
In League of Legends, your character only progresses for 30 minutes.
Your summoner
reset.
Progresses over time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of.
But you don't really have anything about that. You're getting more characters, and that's how you're changing things up. And you buy skins to make the ones you really like look better. But, yeah, it's not about... tricking out your little characters.
It is. I mean, there is a lot of skins involved, and that's how they make a lot of money.
Right.
But, I mean, that's not the reason that you keep playing the game. You keep playing the game because you like multiplayer games. You like challenging your skill level against other players, like that. But I think the problem with this game, though, is that, honestly, I feel like it's a Diablo clone with Marvel like wrappings or whatever.
I don't feel it's a good Diablo clone at all.
Well, I didn't say it was a good one. I'm just saying that's what I get. So it's like
you can substitute action RPG with Diablo clone in your sentence, right? You're not saying it's Diablo clone.
But I mean,
you're just saying it's an action RPG that's not very good.
I'm saying it's a Diablo clone. that's because fine. Like you look at a game like Mass Effect. Mass Effect, isn't that an action RPG? What is that? Like
it's an RPG.
It's an RPG.
Right. Exactly. So I mean, I feel like this game feels like what Star Wars is to WoW, like the Old Republic version.
The Old Republic,
right? Because it just has like all of the same trappings, even a lot of the same game systems.
I realize that action is generic and RPG is generic, but action RPG really means like point
Diablo
and click. It means Diablo.
Diablo like. Gameplay.
But Anthony's objecting to the fact that you've compared it so closely to Diablo, was significantly
better.
No.
Here's the thing. The reason I like action RPGs is because I can play different builds.
Mm-hmm.
This game restricts me to one.
Does it?
I can get a retcon device from a random drop or story reward, but
I see.
I can't buy another hero. I can't buy a second Hawkeye. And do a different build, and if I did, it would take me forever to get to the high levels.
Oh yeah, you can't have a second of the same character. I never even thought about that.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm stuck with my one Hawkeye build.
Like
that's you can.
I know. I understand that, but why do you need a device to do it?
Because they want you to spend money.
Yeah,
money.
Random drop.
That seems
spend
dumb.
Money.
I mean, like you should. What they should do with this game is they should just drop more skins, more heroes, and people will collect these things slowly. And then they should just set up an auction house so you can sell them and take a cut. That's like how you should play. That's how they should make money with this game. It'll make everyone happier, right?
Right.
Like you'll be collecting things as you go. I mean, you don't need to really increase the drop rate that much. You just need to, over my 10 hours, give me 2 things.
I think auction house is a dirty word now that Diablo 3 has implemented an auction house.
Is it? I mean,
it makes some money, but it makes all the Diablo fans
unhappy. Yeah, but
unhappy.
Just make the heroes tradable.
I don't know how Diablo would have reacted if Diablo 3 had been a free game and they had an auction house to support it. I think that might have been a whole new world.
The other thing is they'd be selling different things, right? My example was they'd be selling skins and heroes, not necessarily items.
Right.
And so
it's not pay for power.
Yeah, it's not. It's not that system. It's just that it leverages like the business model with the player. So the player feels like, you know, I play this game more, I could actually make some money out of it. And the other people that are buying the skins are paying some money to Marvel or whoever makes this.
So
game.
Like the League of Legends model, right?
No, that model's it's not like that at
well,
all.
Well, the other thing they need to they do different from Diablo is never allow a person to remove money from the system, right? So you can buy cash to use on the auction house, or you can earn cash in game to use on the auction house, but you can't like make a bunch of stuff and then cash out. You're just selling the stuff you want to get more. Funds for use in game,
because that brings in a different kind of player.
Chinese farmer.
But going back to my going back to my original comment though of the whole tribes thing, where you can buy like everything up to a certain point. You know, if this game is situated right, you know, and if I was slightly more interested, I could see myself shelling out a few bucks. I might not play it for forever, but you know, it's like, oh yeah, I'll try out Captain America today, or I'll try Daredevil for a few hours.
That option costs $200.
I know.
They should just have League of Legends allows you, they put 10 random champions available to every single, you know, they change it every 2 weeks, and you can just go and try them. They should just have that system.
That's why I think they should have. But
would you lose the hero?
Yeah, that's
that
the
time?
Thing, like, because you actually invest permanent, you know, levels
you
in
need
these
to,
guys.
Like, modify it slightly in order to match the game system that they have, which is with Anthony's idea where you could play up to level 10 or whatever, you know. But I definitely think there's ways that you could just give more people like kind of a demo version of that that hero.
Oh, hero trials. That's actually something I was like bummed out about. It's like, okay, like when I first got the game, or, you know, you open up the screen, you're like, now, you know, welcome, select one of these characters. It's like, okay, they can give you some description of them, but it's like, I don't know. Do I like Scarlet Witch? Do I like Hawkeye? Do I like Thing? I don't know. Would you at least let me try out my character before I spend cash?
The Thing I knew, every other character I think on that list, I have no idea what their abilities would be.
Yeah, me too.
No, no, but they tell you roughly like,
big.
Like Hawkeye
totally
is a
melee.
Or this guy's the Thing. He's a melee. I thought there was a little
I kind of knew what the Thing was, but I don't know what Scarlet Witch is. I don't know really who Daredevil is.
No, I think the Scarlet Witch they said.
Ben Affleck, I believe.
No.
Yeah. No, I totally feel that exact same way. And in fact, I felt like they led with their B-list characters and not like their A-list,
of
which really
three characters
I know,
the B-list
but I mean,
ones.
But I mean, they have like more than – they have enough A-list characters, don't you think, where they could just put some of them in there, you know, where you can start playing out with them right away. I just felt like why do I care about any of these people?
Well, Zillion wanted to make money because they know that people would want to play their A-list characters, should buy to play their A-list characters.
Right. I really don't think the game was just targeted at me. I'm not a Marvel hero fan. And I think it really takes the Marvel hero fan to play.
You know who Spider-Man is, right?
I do.
And so
he's A-list, right? A-list?
Yes.
Yeah, see, the problem is I also would have trouble identifying a character who was Marvel versus DC.
Right.
Like,
you're
just
Chris,
a superhero, you know? I mean, there are some I know.
I am sorely
like
disappointed.
Superman
you can buy
and Batman
for $30.
But really, say, Chris, I'll give you Batman in the game. Just give me $30.
Right. You can't trade any heroes. You should know that.
I'll give you an ultra rare Superman.
Awesome.
Anyway,
foil Superman?
Yeah, and I'll throw in a Wonder Woman or two.
Anyway, I feel like we've beaten the free-to-play, the fact that this is not monetized correctly to death. So let's move on to something else. Performance issues. How did you feel that the game performed on your systems?
Did you guys get a lot of lag? I got a lot of lag on the events and certain levels, overworld levels.
When I played with folks, when I saw like lots of folks on screen or lots of big boss fights, there was a lot of lag and stuttering of images. When I was playing by myself at, you know, 2 or 4 o'clock in the morning, much less.
Yeah, it almost becomes unplayable though. On those, this goes back to the reason why I think they shouldn't have allowed the overworld with everyone in it. They should have just, restricted it to 8 people because I can't get anywhere. If it becomes that bad, it's just like I'm going to quit the game. I'm going to play later because I can't play now.
I think my threshold is like maybe 40, 50 players, but I was okay with, you know, screen full of guys.
Oh, I wasn't. I was like, I can't click to my objective,
what
so
graphics
I can't
card
progress my story, and then so I'm just turning off. What?
What graphics card do you have?
Oh, mine's pretty old, so I'm not even.
Yeah, so your system
mine's
is
pretty
probably
recent.
Yeah.
It'll tell you, though, if you have really old drivers. I don't know if anyone else runs into this, no. But I am running on an iMac. And the thing about the drivers for that is, like, you basically can't change them because, like, Apple produces them.
Right.
I mean, even if you go and download, like, the latest stuff, it still doesn't change them for some reason. Anyway, so I'm running on Windows, and it'll just always come up and say, like, your drivers are out of date all the time. And there's right. nothing I can do about it. And it just was really annoying.
Well, I didn't have any problems. The only time I had problems was I think we were fighting Venom.
Yeah, Venom with 40, 50 people.
Yeah. And there was so much chaos on the screen that I don't know if it was lag or if it was just too much going on. I couldn't tell what was going on. I couldn't find my character, couldn't find Venom. Yeah. it was chaos. But for the most part, you know, I loaded into levels just fine. I played with people.
How long did it take you to load into the levels, though? It took me a long time.
I think it was pretty fast.
For me,
but I do have it installed on an SSD, so then
I think that's it.
Yeah. It did take me a long time, and I'm happy about my system, but some levels did take a while.
I ran into many bugs with guys. Some guys would get stuck and be unhittable.
It's especially
true with melee characters, like because I'm melee. Like there were these guys who looked like half tank, half man, and they would zoom around, and I just would skip most of those guys because 50% or more of them would be undamageable.
Yeah, I already talked to you about this. It's because the game on their servers know where those guys have really rocketed to, but our games haven't caught up to that information.
And as a melee character, I guess I'm not adjacent to them.
Exactly. And me as a ranged character, I know why. I think they actually winded over here, so I'm aiming at empty air and I'm reducing their life.
Well, that's a sign of poor implementation.
Yeah, I've already accepted that part, but you know, well, the thing about that is like I don't deal with them as much because I'm all I did in the last few 30-40 hours was endgame.
Right.
It was a totally different game.
The loading screens were helpful, though. I learned a lot about the thing. I know he's like in charge of the Yancey Street Gang at one point. Right. I know he's like an astronaut or something like that. And I heard Daredevil is like a he's like a public defender.
He's a lawyer.
He's a lawyer.
Yeah. So anyway, Hell's all Kitchen. great knowledge.
Yeah. No, okay. Here's the true story. Okay. Over. So I had this problem fighting Magneto. I always die suicide. I mean, not suicide. Like he would encase me in this thing. I can't move around, and my life would deplete, and I would always die to that.
Yeah.
And then last night when I was playing with Scott, helping him through his missions, the Magneto tooltip came up and says, when you're encased in the thing, just attack to break out of it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I was caught in the thing, and I'm like, I'm dying.
Attack.
I'm like, oh.
I just run away when he's telegraphing that attack. But,
when it chases you and suddenly you're locked in.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I use this nullifier arrow that cancels and moves. I don't know if that helps, but...
Yeah. Okay.
You want PvP?
Yes, I PvP'd. It's the worst mode possible.
Yeah, it's just mass chaos with no goal.
There's no balance.
Yeah.
There's no level balance. 45s, yeah. level 50s fighting yeah. level 20s.
We had we played last night. We had 10. There must have been 10 level 30 guys on us, and this one level 54 guy was just killing us all.
Yeah,
level 54 like Spider-Man
rotating around us, just killing us.
And then he kills one of us, and then we drop a life orb, and he regenerates his health. It took a long time, but we finally got his health to a little sliver, and he just rolled out off the screen. His escape move all the way to his base.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
His life orbs are kind of funny. I mean, you basically just go from like, really low health to pretty much full.
Yep. And it depends on the stage. Crazy. I think it's proportional to the stage you're on.
Yeah. But
anyway. But yeah, I don't understand dailies. They're called dailies, but I could repeat them as much as I wanted.
They only give you one cube shard per day.
Okay.
Each guy.
But so you could still like get the special token of that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I sell the metal.
Yeah.
I look for the better versions, but all random sets, RNG.
So I tried to I used one of those cube, not cube shards, the other ones.
Cosmic keys
to go into a red instance.
Whoa. Yep.
The first one, couldn't do it.
Oh.
It was very hard. It was. It's a group thing, apparently.
Yeah, no,
they don't really tell
them.
You
it's
that.
It's got to be heroic. That's got to be like the equivalent.
No, but I mean, it depends, okay? Because I soloed some of those. So they give you, the red ones will also give you a cosmic shard. So if you kill Shocker in green, he gives you one. You kill Red Shocker, he gives you one as well.
Okay. Well, I could never do those, and I just didn't understand the end game, and I got bored of doing the same like 8 instances over and over again. So yeah.
No, that's the thing about the end game is just repetitive boss grinding for. They have the highest chance of hero drops.
After like 2 levels, I'm like, okay, this game's over, and I stopped playing. Like 30 hours in, it was just done. Music?
Yes, let's talk about the music.
Okay.
Did anyone like pay attention to the music at all? Because I did, like, just yesterday, and it's actually really well written. I mean, they must have gotten like a some kind of symphony or band or something to, in order to make the music. And the more I paid attention to it, I was like, wow, I actually feel like I'm playing a superhero, and I'm in one of those superhero movies.
Well, actually, I watched one of the making of YouTube videos on this, and they actually got a bunch of A-list actors to do the voices.
What?
For the characters and stuff. Well, not A-list, but
so A-list. Does Robert Downey Jr. do that?
I noticed Nick Fury was some guy that I recognize. Some
not Samuel L. Jackson, though.
Right. No, yeah, it wasn't like, Samuel L. Jackson.
They have a cadre of actors who do
professional
voicers who've done these heroes before, and they got them all. They got all the.
I'll have to show you who this guy is because you'll know who he is when you see him.
Okay.
But I can't tell you anything that he's been in or what his name is.
Because one of my complaints actually was the voices turned me off in the game.
Really?
Because I was, in a way, I mean, they're comic books, right? I don't know what they sound like, but I played a lot of Marvel vs. Capcom. So when they do their moves,
I wanted to hit Spider-Man every single time he spoke.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God!
No, he sounds annoying in Marvel too, but
just an annoying guy.
No, but I do like that, and they're true to that, and they recognize that they're fans of that. That just goes back to they're making this game for the fans of the Marvel universe.
Yeah, that's
you know, it's like, were you annoyed at his voice or his persona?
Well, I mean, it was a little bit of both, right? It was his voice was like this high pitched, squeaky kind of, and he was just an annoying little kid.
Yeah, like arrogant, carefree.
Yeah, those aren't the sarcastic words I would use to.
Spider-Man he's like that.
And Wolverine wasn't gruff enough for
snipe
me.
Remarks and stuff all the time. So
anyway, I wasn't really impressed. And did the music change? Like with the scene? Like did you have music change?
Yeah, well, on different levels. See, I mean, it changed.
Like when some games like build up the tension and do the dynamic music.
No, I didn't notice
that
so much.
Okay, I play with the music off, unfortunately, because. I play in a room with other people, and I usually am listening to them as much. But
you gotta use your headphones.
That's now if I do, but then I can't hear anybody in the room, so that's like I often don't even play with sound.
Not good for monitoring children.
Exactly.
Music changes with boss fights.
Okay,
but I can't really recall a build up to it. But I know
there's
like,
no dynamic music. At least from my experience.
Did you have a favorite piece?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
No. I like the Ninja Garden.
I do want to talk about the story a little bit, though.
Okay.
And I didn't finish the story, so maybe spoiler section in case we do disclose what happens. But I didn't even realize I was chasing this like tablet thingamajig until... I didn't realize I was chasing the tablet until like halfway through the story, and I'm like, okay, you know, I finally got it. So I didn't think it was like telegraphed very well to me like what was going on.
Well, neither did they.
Chapter one, they said.
Neither did they.
Okay. Well, I mean, that might be the case.
Did you watch the video where he got the tablet from the alien guys?
Yeah.
Like the guy with the big head?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You can tell I don't play
like
the Marvel
defenders.
It was just an alien who was like, I can't stand it. No, they watch over Earth. I don't know who they are.
The Watchers.
That guy. Yeah. Right at the beginning.
Yeah, so, but see, that didn't tell me, like, tablet thing.
That told you that he got some sort of power thing, and that was why he was doing all this. But the Avengers and everybody, you know, the people you're playing, they had no idea. They were investigating. They were going on all these leads, which are not necessarily related. They're just people causing havoc.
Yes, and then there's the fact that, like, I'm playing through the story, and my guy's the Thing. I never see the Thing in the actual story. I saw like Spider-Man.
I saw Captain America.
I didn't see my dude.
Dude, so if you wanted to be featured in the story, $20.
Okay, so here's the thing.
Luke Cage.
You think that they might make the story centered around one of the free players that they might make. Because, my theory for this is like the story isn't the main part of the game. Like you're going to end up going through the whole story. It's going to become rote. It's going to become really familiar to you, and it's not going to make any difference. So they might as well just make it the starting heroes so that you can enjoy that part.
The enjoyment of the story isn't whether or not you're included in it. The enjoyment is a character that you like included in the story. And they're going for more people are going to like Spider-Man and Wolverine and things than are going to like Squirrel Girl.
But, I totally agree with that. So let me play Spider-Man from the beginning. That's as simple as it gets.
But I agree with Paul's point of view, though. You know, it's like, hey, you know, if you want... We've been talking about it in terms of how we enjoy it as gamers, but from a business perspective, if people are bored and they don't like that kind of situation, how hard it would have been to, if you throw in a few bucks, I don't know, maybe it is a lot of money, to throw in a little bit of funds towards adding the thing, you know, or a few characters here and there scattered through.
So like a Photoshop face portrait of thing. And
see, like, the thing about the story is it's all done in like a, you know, like a comic book style. So it's, I mean, it's not like you just swap the models out.
That'd be freaking awesome to see like the whole painted scene and then like this cutout of the thing there. But, you know, and then like the whole thing goes silent and the thing has this one voiceover line that's interjected there.
Oh, yeah. Like all the cut scenes, like, you don't see the thing and then suddenly spliced in is the thing saying something.
But that'd be great.
A panel, a single panel of the thing.
But, you know, you can do these kinds of things to give people a sense of that
immersion.
Yeah.
Yes. I agree with Glorious. I mean, like, all jokes aside, they could have made it better to weave any character in. I mean, they could have used, like, you know, cutaways to your character with, you know, using different comments or whatnot.
Right. Or instead of using dynamic characters, you know, you have, like, what was it, 8-10 chapters worth of stuff, and there's only, what, 10-12 characters?
You don't even have to talk. You just show, like all 20. Five of them standing there, and your guy's like, in the back.
Here's here's a scene with the Fantastic Four. Here's a scene with the X-Men.
Yeah, like on Chapter 8, you'll finally see the Fantastic Four with the Thing. That's where you feel like the Thing will be involved.
Yeah, so you did not get there.
I don't remember him.
No, I'm saying that wasn't there, though. How you can pay it off.
Jean Grey, man. I played, and you had to buy her, too.
Rocket Raccoon, where did he show up?
I know, that's true.
All right, let's take a break, and then when we come back, we'll talk about next month's game. We're back. Okay, so we're going to start with next month's game, and for next month's game, we have a selection by Glorious.
Hi, yeah. So for next month, we will be playing My Little Pony: Friendship is Magic.
Yes!
Is that a free-to-play game? Because I'm tired of free-to-play games.
I'd put money in that one.
Oh, sadly it is. You know, everyone gets their own special pony. You comb it, you brush it, you give positive words of encouragement.
Are there achievements?
Absolutely.
I can get behind this game then.
No.
Bronies unite.
Yes. Brohoof. Anyways, the game for next month that I selected is an indie game that's still kind of under development called Unepic. If anyone's actually known me for any length of time, well, actually, Anthony primarily, there's one game above all others that I say I love to death. I kept the disc for many, many years. I still played it. I still put it inside my PlayStation 1, my PlayStation 2. And I still played it until it got scratched up, and now it's packed in some box right now. And that game is, Anthony?
My Little Pony. Castlevania, Symphony of the Night.
Yes, I love that game to death. It's a combination of controls, items, exploration.
Street Fighter moves.
Does it have the cool Castlevania 3 music?
It's got his own awesome score.
So, okay. Unepic is a game that's kind of along the same vein. You play as a character it's a bit of a, comedy? In the sense that the introduction is that you are with your buddies playing D&D one night, and then you go off to the bathroom, and the next thing you know, the lights go out, and then all of a sudden you're awakened in this in this castle, and kind of gives you kind of a play on some tropes. You kind of encounter comedy from a couple of different other games and other things. But overall, the game is plays just like Castlevania. You're in this castle, you got to explore.
So is this a Metroidvania game, or is it just a side-scrolling action game?
Very much like a Metroidvania.
So you
RPG
by that you I mean you have areas that you can't reach until you get a certain item.
Yeah, absolutely.
You backtrack.
Mm-hmm. There's a variety of equipment. You know, you can build your character in many different ways. You can build a mage. You can build an archer. You can build a melee mace
guy.
Sounds
like a half RPG too.
Let's see. There's a Diablo-esque itemization. So that's something that's kind of new that I wasn't sure if it was going to be great in this type of game, because it wasn't in Symphony of the Night. But you can kind of get random drops of items with random attributes, like blank, blank, blank of the knight, and it gives you extra plus damage, or blank, blank, blank of the finesse, it gives you more chance for crits.
Okay. So what you mean by Diablo items, itemization is randomly generated items and stats.
Yeah. Okay. And then, but true to kind of old Castlevania style, there's unique items where you actually, it's like, this special dagger allows you to do this and this and that, you know, and you won't find it on any other dagger.
So this game is new, relatively new, and low budget, I assume, indie.
It's an indie title. It's actually...
You said it was a work in progress at the start.
Yeah, it's sold on Steam as part of an early access.
Okay, so it's not even released yet? It's still early access?
Yep.
Okay, so we're beta testing a game.
But actually, it's released, but not released. I mean, come on.
The game is functional.
Well, early access is any way. You never know what you're going to get with
but,
it.
But, yeah, so...
Sometimes all the features aren't in there. Sometimes you're just...
I think it's actually pretty complete. At least I've been playing it for a little bit now.
Have you finished it?
No. Okay. I've been kind of playing a little bit here and there because I kind of wanted to do it. Use it for a game of the month, and so I've been going to not get all the way through it because I want some new stuff for us to discuss at next month's discussion. But in addition to that, other things like in Castlevania, spells. You guys can learn different variety of spells. And one of the last things I liked is pets. You can actually get pets that help you do things.
No, so not like WoW pets that just follow you around and have no purpose?
You know,
they can fight with them now.
Castlevania pets that do something.
Oh, right. They're Pokemon battle games. Yeah. Yeah, so. I haven't played WoW recently, but I did read about that. Okay, so if you'd like to join us in playing the game of the month and you want to send in your comments or questions about the game, feel free to do so at podcast@10-hp.com. Now we're going to go into a segment we call Bonus HP, where everyone gets a few minutes to just talk about whatever they want to talk about. And we're going to start with Anthony.
Drugs. Don't do
drugs
it.
Are bad.
No, well, I don't know. I just stick to the gaming topic and everything. Yeah, like, you know, bought a crib today and stroller yesterday.
Game
what,
of life.
What kind of crib? One of those high back ones?
Yeah, actually, it's a high back one and low front, and it'll convert into a toddler bed and a full size bed.
Just a full size? A full?
Edge.
Full size, yeah.
Wow.
We bought the things to...
is it the smooth edge, the curved edged one?
I don't know. And the thing is, we couldn't actually take it home because we didn't have a big enough vehicle, so we'll be transporting it tomorrow.
So you're going to pick it up or are you having it delivered?
We're picking it up. Yeah, it's cheaper that way.
We bought a cheap crib. I mean, it's a good crib, but it's just inexpensive. It doesn't convert into a full. It converts into a toddler bed.
Yeah.
See?
Our new ones, our two new ones do.
I don't know how long I'm going to be at our house. And so space is a concern. Like, we don't want to store the crib. So we're thinking, you know, it'll grow with a kid. So
right.
And, and I mentioned earlier, you know, like, Marvel's got me playing Path of Exile, you know, for my RPG, action RPG fix, and I think I'll be continuing to play that.
Cool.
Yeah, because...
I love that skill tree. Man,
It is, and that's what I love about it, is, like, I can create another character and start a different build and get levels fast. I'm, like, you know, spending 40, 50 hours in Marvel and only getting up to 36 out of 60.
Scott.
Oh, me. So I'm new to this, but has anyone watching the new episodes of Venture Brothers?
No idea what Venture Brothers is.
I don't even know what
you
it is.
You guys
either.
Never seen Venture Brothers?
No.
Oh, it is hilarious.
What channel is it on?
It's on Cartoon Network's Adult Swim. and it's typically on at midnight.
Oh, that's the one with Brock Sampson,
Brock,
right?
Patrick Warburton as Brock Sampson.
Yeah, see, I've seen Brock Sampson and referenced him a lot, but I've never watched Venture Brothers. I should get into that.
What is this TV it's, you speak of?
Yeah. Is it on Netflix?
It's on Netflix. The first season is on Netflix. But did you guys ever see, as a kid, see a cartoon series called Johnny Quest?
Yes.
Yeah. Sure.
It's kind of a spoof on that, but they've kind of migrated it so that it's kind of a spoof on all of your favorite 80s cartoons as well. And they make a ton of references to, like, a lot of things. They make references to Disney. They make references to, you know, classic rock even. They had a Billy Idol as a guest star one time. But
doesn't Seth Green do this, like, in Robot Chicken?
Yeah, but this is like a cartoon.
Oh. This is more like skits.
Yeah.
Right.
His is skits. This one actually has a consistent story that follows through four seasons. I think they're starting their fourth season. And it's incredible. It's hilarious. The new storyline's awesome.
I like Patrick Warburton.
He's great.
He's a good actor, and he's just like kind of this B actor that, you know, I mean, he's known, but he's not really famous.
What has he done? I don't know.
He's the Tick. He's
The Tick. Okay, yeah. I know. He was on
Joe
Seinfeld
Sampson
then,
on
right?
Seinfeld.
Yeah.
He's been around the industry.
Yeah. Okay, I know him now.
I'm not sure if he's qualified as a B.
He's got the
flavor. He's just like if you saw him, you're like, oh, I recognize him.
Exactly.
So yeah, the first season is on Netflix, and I would recommend it for you guys. I think the original first season was only like 15-minute episodes, and then they increased it to 30 minutes. But it's hilarious. I'd just recommend it.
Cool. Yeah, I finished watching what is it? Always Sunny in Philadelphia, season 7. And season 8's already done, but it's not on Netflix, so I can't see it. And they're 9 and 10 are in production, so that's cool. I love that show, and it's going to be...
I can't believe that's directed by Fred Savage.
It's executive produced.
Executive produced by Fred Savage.
It's directed by the guys that make it.
Right. Uh-huh.
But yeah.
Yeah, I was like, Fred Savage, really?
There's someone else that... There's something else that, like, executive produced by... Christopher
Nolan,
Lloyd? Something like. Anyway, it's not the same guy. Anyway, my bonus HP is on the topic of Double Fine, and they recently sent out an update to their Kickstarter. They Kickstarted for $3.3 million, and they sent out an update saying we've designed too much game. We're gonna go over budget, and to alleviate that, we're going to use some of our money from our other projects, and we're going to release the game early on Steam Early Access and start taking pre-orders, taking sales, and then release the game in two parts, Act 1 and Act 2. And Act 1, people will buy and get to play and in with Early Access, and then they'll release Act 2 to the Kickstarters and everything.
Hmm.
So there's this. People are really up in arms about this. And the challenge is, you said you'd make a game, and with this amount of money, you got 100 times as much as you were supposed to, and you failed to deliver that product. And I think, why is all this coming from people? You know, all Kickstarters go with stretch goals and things, and this game is way bigger in scope than they originally intended. I think that's great for people. I think that. They shouldn't have delivered with a $3 million budget. They shouldn't have delivered this crappy, you know, six-month project that they originally intended with their excessive budget that they would then have. I wonder what you guys think. Should they have delivered what they originally promised with the Kickstarter? Or should they up it to match what they're getting in terms of backing? And as a corollary to the rest of it, you know, are they wrong to get more money if they want to make even more?
I think, you know, those bridges have kind of been burnt with a couple different games, Star Command being one of them, where they actually had a second Kickstarter to kind of, they said that we ran over. And ostensibly, it was for the PC, but then you can say, like, oh, well, some assets and stuff can be used interchangeably between the two. So I think in this case, I can understand why people are upset, because it's like, kind of like you said, they were going to deliver something. You got so much more money over that. I think what they didn't calculate correctly is like, okay, the stretch goals. Basically, we added all these stretch goals, and
Well, this was before Kickstarter really, you know, got in that vibe of stretch goals. You know, Double Fine didn't have stretch goals.
Yeah, they just asked for a set amount of money.
They just asked for a set amount of $300,000 and ended up with $3 million.
Oh, then there's no excuse then.
Yeah, it's you know, we're backers. There's a feeling of betrayal, isn't it?
Yeah,
emotional.
The scope did increase, and yet you got 100 times more than you were asking for.
But they're also going to deliver 100 times more than...
Wait a second. You said there weren't any stretch goals.
There weren't any stretch goals. They changed the project. Oh. They made more game. They increased the size of the team. They increased the scope of the development. Everything about it increased to match what they had.
Then I'd say the fault is on them, you know, because they should have... You have to do some type of reasonable projections. And you got so much more, you should have been able to deliver at least what you originally said. Or cut back scope.
So what did they cut?
They're not cutting.
They're not cutting.
They're growing. They're going to deliver the project as they planned, but they need to fund it themselves with different revenue sources, so more than just the Kickstarter.
So they just
and they're not asking for more Kickstarter money. They're just saying, "Hey, now we're
splitting this up into two.
We're
going to
split this up into two games. You get both of them for kickstarting. It's just now we're going to start pre-selling to generate some more money."
I got a question for you. Okay, so for the early access version, the people who paid for the Kickstarter to get the early access?
Yeah. They're going to release half the game, and then they're going to release the second half like 6 months later.
All right, so
this is an emotional response.
If I was one, they're lost then.
I was just going to say, if I was one of those people who would be upset, just tell me what my argument is for why I'm upset. I'm just trying to figure it out.
Because you aren't delivering your product? I don't know. Because you aren't delivering on what you said you were going to do in the Kickstarter.
Which is just A and B or A? I mean, like, I'm just...
Just A, right? Just get it done with the money you're getting.
A.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're going for more money.
Is it because they're not going to deliver on
time? Well, I think it's a confidence issue. I mean, there's two things. Confidence. Like, okay, so...
Well, you
asked for $300,000. You got $3 million. You can't finish the game with all the scope you've added. You're going to ask for more money. How much confidence do I have that all the money you're going to ask is still going to get me part B?
Well,
they're not asking that money of Kickstarter.
They're not asking it from Kickstarter, but they're saying, but you now you've already raised the issue, the seed of doubt. Like, okay, can you complete this?
Yeah, I like that word, seed of doubt.
It's not that they can't complete it. It's just the fact that they've admitted basically that, all right, we were overly ambitious. We screwed up. And what's to say that, can I trust you to finish the game?
Okay, I guess that's fair. I wouldn't say that they're extending the duration of the whole project 9 months. They have a track record for delivering products. They know what their projections are. I don't know. I guess that makes sense. They've not run out of money, but they've realized that they're not going to be able to finish what they want to finish. And the two options were to cut and deliver the product or ask for more money and deliver over product. I mean, they're not late yet. They're extending their deadline and increasing their scope. I guess you're fair to say that you don't have confidence that they can deliver that. I don't think that really being less than a year over deadline with a 10 times the budget is something that they're failing to deliver.
But you already said that, you know, they need to take money from other sources, from some of their other projects. They need to go sell their product early on Steam. That to me says that, okay, we still need money. Will you get enough money, A, to do part B?
Right.
What's the problem, though, with just making like a Kickstarter bigger than you said in the first place? I mean, that's basically what they're doing, is they're just taking money from other places.
I think it's a win-win. I really do. I think that we're going to get a better game out of it. And yes, they have not, you know, their original Kickstarter doesn't match what they're going to deliver. And I have faith that they're going to deliver it, which may be the thing that separates people who are angry and people who are not, is that do you have faith that Double Fine can
deliver this doubt, product? As Gloria said, you know, like I was saying, seed of doubt. You know, he now questions their ability to deliver the product. You know, he now has, you know, his confidence is shaky in Double Fine. And I think, well, when you originally were talking about this, I immediately, you know, would be would react emotionally, just like, oh, you know, like that's terrible. Why are they doing this? I'm not thinking with reason. I'm not looking at the end product. I just feel like they've, you know, it's just,
I think, a lot
instant betrayal. That's what I feel at first. But when you think about it, yeah, they're releasing a bigger, better product. They're not asking anything more of me. You know, they might be a little bit late, but you know, that sounds like a win-win. But you know, I still feel like, no. They're abusing. I mean, I have this feeling they've abused Kickstarter from the beginning. You know, they didn't do what they said they were going to do.
I would be super disappointed if they'd done what they said they were going to do, spend 6 months on this project, and deliver, you know, a 2 or 3 hour adventure game with $3 million.
Thank you, cha-ching.
Right, exactly. I mean, I'm glad they increased the scope, and if they've gone over, well, that's bad. But I would rather them go over and give me more and still not than deliver, you know, have no stretch goals, basically.
Yeah, I think we shouldn't judge until they fail to deliver.
Right, and that is what's happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think people are just prejudging them.
Yeah,
but the thing is, you're going to fail now, and they haven't proven that they failed.
So,
yet.
I mean, I'm just playing devil's advocate here, but I voted. I mean, if I were to kick back this project, I have voted my dollars to get a certain product delivered. Right.
Right.
And
well, yeah, I also think that's misinterpreting the success of Double Fine. I think Double Fine succeeded because people voted for the spirit of adventure games to live on and not for a short adventure game. Like, they wanted adventure games made, and they said, I'm willing to pay for that. And the scope wasn't the important thing. It's not like, you know, I want a deck of cards or a watch or something. I'm buying this one specific product, and that's all I need to be made. And if you make me a watch with, you know, yeah, that fits on two wrists, that's not something I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
People voted for adventure games and more than the specific product. So when the scope expanded, that made more sense.
Well, like I said, most of my arguments so far have just been speaking for trying to understand other people's position. For me, when I back something in Kickstarter, it's kind of like out of sight, out of mind. When I see it show up.
That's the other position that I would take, is that if this product doesn't come out, you know, that's Kickstarter.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is a total risk,
right?
And you have no, like, they don't actually owe you anything,
right?
Yes. Yeah. It is a donation,
payment on faith,
right?
That something's going to happen here.
But anyway, I think that their spirit is good. You know, that the spirit of this enhancement is good, and it's going to just turn out for the best. But that's my faith. I've been going on long enough. So, Paul.
Okay, so I was going to talk about League of Legends again, but I thought, you know, we hadn't really talked about anything that happened with the new consoles recently.
Okay.
So I figured I would just go around the table here and just ask, you know, which console people were thinking about buying, or whether they're going to buy any console at all, given, you know, what has happened recently.
I am getting a PC.
Okay.
Wii U.
Wii U?
No, I'm just kidding. No. I'm in the Sony camp, so I'm not paying attention to what I am paying attention, but it's not, you know, shaking.
Expo?
So it didn't matter, like, whatever Microsoft said, you were still going to buy the PS4.
Yeah, PS4. I mean, ideally, I'd get both, uh-huh. But I'm in the Sony camp.
I don't know. You're asking a bunch of PC gamers here.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, really.
I mean, we're probably PC gamers for life. I don't know. Before it was, do I need a Blu-ray player or not? And now they're both Blu-ray players. So
yeah, which makes me wonder how much of that is eating into the cost of the X-Bone.
Yeah,
so, right? Because, you know, you've got licensing fees to Sony for every Xbox that comes out.
Not that much.
So yeah, I mean, I guess it'll be the one that has the more better games.
Yeah. Wait, you gotta even get a console? I mean, that is an option.
I might hold off. I'll be holding off.
Too. Chris and I hit upon a very important question: Xbox One or X-Bone?
Right. I like X-Bone.
I like Xbox 360 or what was it?
It was 720
or 720.
180.
180.
Yeah, it's 180 now.
The Xbox 180.
So for me, you know, I was thinking about this. Consoles used to be like exclusive. You know, totally. Like, you get a Nintendo, you play Nintendo games. You get a PlayStation, you play PlayStation games. Very few titles were cross-platform. Now all titles are cross-platform.
Yeah, that was quite a long time ago, though. It was like 10 years.
Well, it was more than last... It was PlayStation 2 era.
Sure.
Right, well, PlayStation 2 had a lot more.
PlayStation 3 and Xbox.
Yeah, it was really PlayStation 1.
It still had, like, Halo. Halo's had their, Xbox.
But it was fewer exclusives.
Yeah, the exclusives were small, just a small subset, like, a dozen titles, whereas before it used to be, like, everything was only on one platform when we were
companies
kids.
Companies and studios were dedicated to one platform.
To that end, now it doesn't matter what system I buy. I want all of them, and, here's why. I want an Xbox because I want... the Kinect and the Skype, communication with my parents. We do Skype all the time. I want the DVD player at the TV. I want it that HDMI pass through. I want it to be that entertainment console that they're the non gaming thing.
Right. The one thing that everybody is complaining about.
Exactly. That's the thing I want about Xbox.
The Kinect is nice. People but they also have Kinect for PC. Also,
do you also have to buy the add on that makes it sound like HAL?
Yeah. No, so it's not about the camera. It's about Skype on the TV.
But you can buy a camera for Skype and do a Skype on the TV. They sell the...
I have that right now. It's right on my TV.
Yeah. Okay, so why do you need an Xbox?
It plugs into its own HDMI. So if I want to communicate with somebody, the Skype box rings, which might not be louder than the TV, so I may not hear it. But if I do, then I have to answer it, say, hold on, I'm changing inputs. Change the inputs on my TV. Wait till if my TV's off, then I have to wait for my TV to warm up in this rear projection, so it's like takes a while to warm up. And then I have to say, okay, hold on, I'm going to answer your thing. And then I get the video of the people. Then I have to switch the inputs. I want it to be seamless with my...
Well, it seems to me that, A, there ought to be a product that does this, or B, if not, then you and I need to start a Kickstarter.
There is no product that does this.
Yes. And that's the problem, too, is like, people, this sounds like a great product, but are you going to be paying $500
for
this?
You can't make the product that I want that does this. Because I want all of those features, too. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And it is a reason why I'd get an Xbox. And because I have children, I think the Kinect might be kind of cool. They might really
it. This is just one of many reasons why I would get an Xbox. Anyway, go on.
Anyway, I was just going to say, no product will ever have, Apple streaming and Amazon streaming on it and Netflix and Hulu Plus and all the things I want to use in order to replace my TV.
Right.
And it's just never going to have it. And that's not because no hardware can support it or no one can build the UI. It's because the licensing can never come together so that I can get all those things on one device. And so that's why it's just not going to happen for me.
So reducing the number of devices is nice because this would get Netflix and Microsoft's working hard with partners and whatnot. This is going to have a wide selection of different services on it. So this will be a good device for entertainment. And then it'll also play some of the Microsoft exclusives. Dead Rising is one of my favorite franchises of all time. And it's a Microsoft exclusive. So.
Titanfall looks pretty good, too.
I mean, that's not exclusive. It's even a PC game.
But it's not going to be on your PS3.
Yeah.
I mean, right. Anyway.
So then I want a PS3.
Exclusive to Microsoft.
Because my mother is a hardcore... action adventure game player, but she's really bad at it, and she always needs my help. And that PS3 lets you play other people's games. She's gonna ask for my help all the time.
You use that Gaikai or whatever, and you can stream. She can stream, and you can play it. Or
no, it's not Gaikai's for streaming games on demand.
Right. What's the technology that makes it so that she can play, and you can just hop in and play for her?
It's I don't know. It's integral to the PlayStation experience. You can watch other people play on your friends list. You can and just watch, see what they're doing, and if they need your help, then you can. And it's kind of like Gaikai.
It's built on Gaikai's platform, I'm pretty sure.
Then if it needs that, then it's not going to be until 2014.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
You're right, though. It does sound like it needs that. But that's one of the things. And there are PlayStation exclusives that I'm interested in and things like that. But primarily, I'm still going to be a PC gamer because I prefer that platform to everything else.
So why do you want the Wii U?
Right? Wii U is not even on that list.
What? PS Vita.
No, actually...
Vita could be fun.
I do want a 3DS. I don't want a Wii U. But, Smash Brothers is coming to 3DS.
Is it?
It's going to be the same?
Which one?
It's a
which
dual
version?
Release.
Oh.
Dual That's release, what I hear, anyway. That might totally be a rumor.
One game plays on both?
But I'm hearing that it's on Wii U and 3DS. Yeah. And it's the same game.
Same exact game. See, I can't picture myself playing a Street Fighter game on a portable... It's a different experience. I just
Yeah, how would you do the multiplayer on that? You just
I just can't picture myself seeing, you know, like studying and learning the individual animations of the characters on a much smaller screen scale. Yeah.
But Smash Brothers, you know, that's a reason to buy a Wii U.
That's the only reason I would buy it.
The only reason people would buy it.
I think that's a lot of exclusives, but I don't play Mario and Zelda and those games anymore. Yeah. It just they don't hold my interest.
Well, Mario is the same
game. Animal Crossing, though. I don't know why I like that game.
What was that?
It's a ridiculous game for an adult to enjoy. So there you have it. I like them all.
I like them all too. But I think it'll just end up being which game comes out that. You know, kind of gets over the hurdle of buying a console. You know, before for the PS3 generation, it was actually Rock Band. I really wanted Rock Band. I remember going out and buying my PS3 because it was the one that had like Rock Band available during Christmas whenever I wanted to play it. And that was like the only reason I chose PS3 over Xbox, which is kind of hilarious. But that's just the kind of the way I am. And I get, you know, something in my mind that I want to, you know, play that or get it, and right. So it's going to depend on the game. And so I don't really know what that game is yet, and so I don't know which console I'm going to buy.
Well, I find that consoles gaming is too expensive too. That's one reason I'm kind of lackluster on it. I can't afford to buy games to support that habit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, maybe with just the new ways that games are being, you know, distributed, it'll be more like Steam and less like normal console games.
Well, the theory was, and this is, you know, the Xbox supporter route is before they decided to go to pull their 180 and get out of this check-in thing, and you could share your games. You know, the theory was that the games were going to become less important, and the digital distribution was going to be more of a thing. So you could start to see reductions in prices and things like that. I mean, Microsoft never said any of this, but this is all like, why would Microsoft have even done it? You know, people talking about that. The theory is that it could be more like Steam, and you could see more games that are deeply discounted. You could see more pricing structures and more competition, and maybe not more competition, but you could see a more versatile landscape.
That's true. Do you think that, you know, the things that they did pull a 180 on are going to affect that particular aspect? It seems to me like, you know, if you do download a game and pay for it from Microsoft, let's say, you don't really have anything to give away to anyone or to resell, or, you know, there's no used game issue there, really. It just seems like they could still do both. They could sell the CD version, and they could sell the digital download. And if they put the digital downloads actually on sale, you know, that would definitely make it so I would want to buy some of them if they were cheap like they are on Steam.
Right. Well, the things that they pulled the 180 on are the checking in, mm-hmm. the region locking. So
I think checking in is like the most important, because that's the one that's going to shut down your machine, right?
Right.
It's kind of like their constant connection, right?
Yeah, like their back.
No, they changed it.
You know, it's their DRM system, right? And so the question is, do you think like the downloads require you to have that like DRM system? Otherwise, you know.
Well, without a system of checking in, you have no idea who's using the software. So, like, if I go and I download the system on some other person's, but I guess they already have that with Xbox 360, is wherever your account is, that it only exists in that one place.
Exactly. That's why I'm just wondering, you know, and Steam does it, right? I can put Steam on, you know, my wife's computer and, like, just download all the games.
I don't know. I think that they're never going to get into a place where they're really be able to discount software, because they're one marketplace. They don't have competitors. They don't have anything to force the price to go down.
Well, except they want to drive up sales.
Making money. Yeah. That's exactly. Right. Like, Steam has shown that if you just drop the prices on some of these games, they will move pretty fast, and you'll be able to cash in, you know, years later on your games.
Right. I totally agree with that. You have to drink that Kool-Aid, though. You have to think, you know, it's a counterintuitive thing to say, you know, if you charge less for this, you'll make more money.
Sure.
And I totally agree that it's proven itself as working. But even the fact that it's been proven hasn't caused PlayStation and Microsoft to rush out and have, I guess they have improved their sales on their systems, but not great sales. Mm-hmm. They're like, you know, right now you can buy games that are a year old for like $25. Now, that's nothing compared to what you would see on Steam.
But it's a different marketplace, as you mentioned.
Okay.
Anyway.
Glorious.
I made a mistake. I am buying a console this fall. It's called an iPhone.
That's so true, though, actually. I mean,
not the Galaxy Note 3?
No.
I play a ton of games on my iPhone, and it has replaced a lot of my other gaming, I would say.
I don't enjoy playing games on
mobile devices.
They really just feel like filler, and then if I had dedicated gaming time, that was the last thing I would want to touch for a gaming device.
Unfortunately for me, iPad. I spend more time on the iPad and the iPhone than my PC in most cases.
It's true for me too now.
I feel like the games are all hampered in design by their low cost of development. Every game that I play has some sort of microtransaction built into it, and that changes the reward mechanisms of the game and just makes it less fun.
Definitely true.
I like Small World. I like Agricola. I mean, there's a lot of good high-end games on there.
And they don't have microtransactions, right?
Nope. There's XCOM, Enemy Unknown. We played that a few months ago.
They didn't add, you know, like little things you could buy to power up your dudes.
Yeah, but no.
Wait, doesn't XCOM have microtransactions? Pretty sure it does.
What?
I don't think it does.
There's a DLC in the Steam one for that Chinese set of missions.
That's just DLC, though.
I know, but there's no microtransactions.
No.
Maybe they had some news item where they were like, this got rid of their microtransactions or something, like they were in development. But if it doesn't have it, you know, I don't know. I don't have an iPad. So I can't test this. I'm not speaking from experience. I'm speaking from
what you read.
What I read.
But other than that,
so you were talking about the mobile version of XCOM.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Other than that, nothing else new to report on that. Although a lot of interesting, fun things on Kickstarter to support and try. We've talked about Kickstarter a lot, but it's also a cautionary tale. There was a Kickstarter for Kobe Red Beef Jerky. And they originally asked for $30,000. They got $132,000, but in the last like 4 hours, it got shut down because it was a scam. Wow. So, you know, it's always when I see people throwing like lots of money at Kickstarters, I have to think to myself, it's like any money I use on Kickstarter, I got to view, even if it's an almost reputable name, you still have to wonder, like, will I still get anything out of this?
Right.
And I think you never should invest in Kickstarter more than you're willing to lose.
Come on, Kobe beef jerky. That's like,
hilarious.
It's like the best and worst parts of beef, or, you know, like all together. You know, it's got to be a joke.
No, apparently not.
I love beef jerky. What are you talking about?
Thinking about for 800 backers, they were, well.
Yeah, no, it is. And it's very susceptible to that. You got to be willing to lose.
So if when they shut it down, do they go after those people or
no? No money changed hands in that case. But then Kickstarter themselves
reach the gold and then
the transaction has to end. Yeah. It has to end.
Kickstarter's scary. People just think they're buying stuff and they forget that they're backing stuff or they're, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And even Kickstarters, you know, they point to their terms and agreement again and again, saying this is not any guarantee. You know, you are basically backing them on faith alone.
Right.
Well, they have to. Otherwise, they seem like they're a guarantor of, like, everyone's products.
Did you ever find out more about what happened to Admiral?
I know just a little bit, and that is, I think this is what happened is, in order to get the Kickstarter going, they put, like, $8,000 of their own money into it, and they pretended to be somebody else. This is, like, on, like, a $20,000 or whatever purchase, and so in order to reach their goal, they put in their own money, and that was against the rules, so they got banned.
Okay.
Pretty sure that's...
That's, did they pull it out, kinda, or did they keep it in?
They pulled it out, like, at the end, because they had already reached the goal, right? And then they pulled it out, because they're like, oh, well, we reached the goal. We don't need, you know, our own money.
Right.
Yeah, but that
giving you the false impression that, like, unethical. A bunch of people want this.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, no, and I have mixed feelings about, like, them shutting it down, because on the one hand, I don't want people gaming the system. I want them to enforce the rules, because you want to be able to really tell that, you know, there are other genuine people out there backing this game. On the other hand, I really wanted that product. So,
well, you know, whatever. The option was to start a Kickstarter limit or funding limit at $8,000 less.
Yeah, sure. They could have.
And then they would have made an excess of it.
I know, but I think, you know, getting that initial, like, money up there, like, someone believes in their game just to show that that someone's purchased it, that probably goes a long way to getting other people to,
right.
to also donate. So, I mean, no matter what, they would have probably put in some money.
Yeah, but if they'd set it in their thing that we're going to put in 8,000 of this to get it started.
Yeah, it seems a little bit shady because, you know, once again, it's that seed of doubt or that faith. You kind of breached people's faith when he said, you know, everyone else looking at this says, wow, I've seen 8,000 out of 20,000 people are interested in this product. I see that there's a chance. Had they know, and then maybe if the creators kept that money in there, it wouldn't be so much an issue. But the fact that it crossed over the magical threshold and then they pulled the 8,000 out.
Yeah, I know.
It sounds like a breach of faith.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well,
I'm glad they shut it down.
If you really wanted that product, you know you could still get that.
I know you can.
Okay.
And obviously it wasn't that important to me because I've since been busy and I just haven't gone and purchased it. And, you know, at this point I am a little skeptical. So I'm done.
Okay. If you've enjoyed this podcast, give us a review on iTunes. And if you want to send us questions or comments, you can send it to podcast@10-hp.com. I think that's it for July, and see you next time. Goodbye from 10HP.
See you.
Good night.
Adios.
You ready?
Yes.
Yes.
No. Yes.
Stop it.
No.
I gotta change the time every time you say something.
Oh. Sorry. And I haven't had a beer yet.
You should just splice all that into the end.
Okay.